Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Just sit right back and you'll hear some talk about a football team. And rear-end problems and wedge salads, PFW in Progress. The host was a mighty radio man, his crew was a childish bunch. They invited New England Patriots fans for a two-hour lunch. A two-hour lunch. The email started getting rough, the producer, he was lost. If not for the courage of the fearless Fred, the broadcast would be tossed. The broadcast would be tossed. The show's alive and it can be heard on Patriots.com with Fred Kirsch and Big Head 2, the Balding One and his Punch, Scalavino, Tacoma, and Dr. D. PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here, even Eric. So, getting ready for next week's big mini camp. Now, next week is mandatory, right?
Yeah.
They all have to be
full
there.
Full team.
So Vince Wilfork isn't there next week. He gets fined, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll have to keep an eye on that because he came out with some comments today.
Yes, sir.
Didn't know if he was going to be there. But we'll be here until 2 o'clock, PFW in Progress. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And right off the bat, I do want to issue an apology for my performance last Tuesday.
It was pretty pathetic.
Yeah, I was off. I was a little off. I felt it. You know, my mind was everywhere, and I was a little distracted by Alyssa Milano.
Who you claim you hadn't seen or hadn't really noticed
Not really.
Over the years.
Quote, I didn't realize she was that hot.
Yeah. I don't watch the shows that she's on.
But she's not just on shows. She's everywhere.
Wait, what do you mean everywhere?
She is a celebrity,
beautiful
woman.
Is she on
a
Boston Red Sox game? Is she on a Celtics game?
She probably has been on the Red Sox game.
Is she on the NFL Network?
She's not on NFL.
If she's not, then she's not where I am.
She's not on NFL Network, but the other two,
I think. But you're online.
You can see her more often than not.
She does an NFL clothing line.
Any professional sporting event, absolutely.
She is on baseball because she does a fantasy baseball commercial with Who's the Boss?
Absolutely.
It says, and it's got players and then her playing fantasy baseball.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen her on NFL.com, the clothing apparel line that she has for NFL
stuff?
No, that's
a great point. She does delve into many of the areas where you are.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it. Can you pour me a cup of Diet Pepsi?
Well, that's just an example of how you weren't quite on your game on Tuesday.
Okay, no,
I can tell, though. That's like saying Ellis Hobbs had a bad game. How do you tell?
He almost forgot to show up for today's show.
Andy hits the nail right in the head. It was hard for any of us to tell any different Tuesday than any other day.
I felt it, and I just want to apologize to our listeners. They deserve better from me.
And just to let the listeners know, nothing was
Eric's
said.
Eric's eating a banana.
Wow, one bite.
He's back, by the way.
Eric, so you peel everything off the banana before you eat it. I always just peel down to where I'm going to eat and then just keep peeling.
No, because you got these annoying little
but
string things.
Eat it
what about
teeth?
The
that?
Thing?
No, I don't like those. I don't like those. Shut up, you.
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
Oh, that's an odd way of eating a banana.
Well, most people bite it. They don't.
Oh, see now. I you know. Anyway. Hi, Paul.
Oh, don't break it.
You're going to be.
Oh, the banana. The agony.
Do you have anything today? Any big shows? Anything like that?
No, I just came from my
just
son's.
Showed up.
Any, my son's big show. I just came. He had his last day of school today. Put on a little performance, you know, singing
Bandex.
Some songs.
Good.
What do you sing?
I'm a little teacup.
You don't even
they
remember?
Sing, well, they sing like six songs. I'm trying to think of the one that
Rainbow,
some rainbow song.
You see.
I don't remember them all.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
No. No, it wasn't Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Well, that's great. So what grade is he in now?
But the best part of the show, it's got to come back to me. You know, let's put it that put, oh, it, okay. put that aside for a second. Several of the parents coming up to me and recognizing me, wanting to let us know they watch the PFW show on Neckin. They love us, number one. They didn't realize during the course of the year that Will's father, because you know Beth drops him off all the time because I'm always here. Very excited. Very
He's
excited.
Always here. Yeah,
no, I should say I'm always en route because that's where I spend the majority of my time is in the car.
You should stay home. You have kids.
I tried to get a couple of people to listen to this show, Freddie, because not everybody was aware of PFW in Progress.
He doesn't live in Salem, Andy.
They didn't give us any ketchup?
No. I'm sorry.
That hurts.
So I'm trying to recruit new listeners to the show.
I think Neckin has an older audience. I think it skews older, the demographic.
And that would be in line with the people that were coming up to me today, because most of them were grandparents.
I got stopped by an older woman who said that she watches the show, didn't give me her name, but said that I should wear a blue or yellow shirt.
And button it.
Button
it.
That I would look, up. I would look nice in a blue or yellow shirt.
Do you own any blue or yellow shirts?
I have some blue shirts.
It's radio. You can't just look down.
No, but he's looking at me. He's wearing a blue shirt.
He's wearing a blue shirt.
And he asked me if I own any.
I was setting you up, Fred.
And in person, that was funny. But to everybody listening, they couldn't see you look down at your blue shirt.
I think you kind of stunned him for a second there. He's wearing a blue shirt and was asked if he has any blue shirts.
It was a setup for him. I wanted him to talk about his shirt.
Do you have a new sweater on? You like sweaters, don't you?
I love sweaters.
Even in the summer.
It's in case you haven't noticed, it's not June-like outside. It's cold, damp, and raining.
Wow. Are you serious?
It was this morning when I left.
Well, I mean, now I left my house the same time you guys left your house. It was not cold, damp, and raining.
Well, it was where I left.
All right.
What point in the show are we going to discuss Ronnie Harrison retiring?
We're going
to
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
All right. No, obviously,
we're not going to talk about the banana and the tailpipe?
That's the big topic. Ronnie Harrison officially announced that he's retiring shortly after Dick Ebersol announced that he's going to be on the NBC Football Night in America with Tony Dungy.
And they're both already coming out swinging,
not
only on their conference call, but then again today, Dungy's saying, you know, Cutler's not the guy for Chicago, and obviously his boy is Lovie Smith, and looks like NBC may have landed two very good analysts.
Yeah, so, but first, you know,
it's interesting that you said that, because I heard nothing but criticism of Dungy yesterday and nothing but praise for Rodney. I think Rodney's going to be great.
Let's be honest.
But it's unbelievable how we even have to take it to the announcing booth.
But yesterday was ridiculous, because they were discussing a topic that was close to both of them. Rodney clearly doesn't like Peyton Manning, would prefer Tom Brady, has done battle with him, and obviously Tony Dungy is going to err on the side of defending Peyton Manning.
No,
so that's one of those.
No, listen, I understand that. That's something that those two guys are going to butt heads on, but I totally agree with you. I think Tony Dungy is fairly irreverent for a coach. I mean, I think he speaks his mind on a lot of different things.
Even when he's not asked.
Exactly, Fred. And you've been sort of rubbed the wrong way by some of those things in the past. He's getting criticized yesterday because he's just going to be another one of these guys that stands up there and doesn't say anything. And let's face it, we know why we're saying it. We hate him because he's a Colts coach. And we love Rodney because he's a Patriot. I mean, that's all it's about around here. You know, and they were using your line, Fred, about Bettis, you know. Another Patriot takes something else away from a Steeler.
Gotta love it.
You know,
but he was awful.
I think Tony
Bettis
Dungy
was awful on that show.
I think Tony Dungy is going to be a good addition to that show. I think Rodney's going to be a home run.
Because I think they share similar, a lot of similar views based on their religion and respect for the game, but willingness to be honest. I think they're both the same guy. I mean,
and they were
a
really,
player and a coach, but they have similar makeups.
They were really trying hard to establish that during the conference call
that clearly
yesterday.
Clearly was the
Dick
intent.
Ebersol was not shy about sort of initiating the dialogue between the two of them, and sort of before they went to the reporters' questions, he was sort of asking them analytical stuff.
I don't know about Dungy, but you know just from Harrison's makeup that he's going to put everything he has into this gig. He's going to really try to do it right and really probably do his homework and, you know, not just show up on Sunday, but work at it all week long and formulate his opinions and really come. He's going to bring it.
He's going to need, though. He's going to need to be balanced, though. And that's Andy was talking about this yesterday off the air. And I agree with Andy 100%. It's one thing to be able to give your, you know, sort of unfiltered opinion of Peyton Manning, a guy that he probably respects a lot, but also dislikes a lot.
Right.
Let's see. Forget forget the Patriots, okay, because we know it's going to be hard for his old – it's going to be hard for him to do what he said yesterday. He used Brady specifically. It's going to be very hard for him to follow through on that if he needs to. But he probably won't need to, so he'll get lucky on that. But there's got to be a lot of other guys around the league. We know that he sort of embarrassed himself in Miami in the playoff game, openly rooting for Ed Reed and the Ravens. Right. What happens if the Ravens stink? Those are his boys, obviously. I mean, he was shamelessly rooting for them on NFL Network during that Dolphins playoff game. Part of that is because he probably hates the Dolphins right. for being a Patriot, which is great.
Right.
But other part of it is he probably has an affection for some of those guys on Baltimore. What happens if Ed Reed has a terrible year?
Right.
Is he going to be ripping Ed Reed?
Well, the question is, okay,
that's a little harder when it's a guy that's one of your boys.
You know, whether it's ESPN or NBC, what they're doing is they're kind of picking from the latest guy who retired or guys who have recently been playing. And when you do that, you do run the risk of the guy bringing baggage. You know, he's quote-unquote fresh off the field.
Yeah.
So it's hot. They're human. That stuff has to carry over. The grudges they had, the opinions they had, the biases. That's what they're going to get.
Yeah.
They have to realize you're going to get that when you pick these guys. And, you know, the bigger question, is it fair the way they do it? Because there's a lot of veterans who have been in broadcasting for a long time in markets all over the country. You know, where the
non-athlete veterans, you mean?
No. Veterans who played football.
Okay.
What the hell else do you think I meant?
Thank you
well,
for your service.
Veteran broadcasters.
No. I'm talking about ex-athletes who are veteran now. Veteran.
I caught that call.
Thank you for your service.
You know, who have been working for teams or local markets who might be good. We just don't know about them.
No, if they're good, they make it.
You think so? You don't think? But
I mean,
you think that
I'll go with a guy locally. And it's baseball, but Dennis Eckersley was deemed good, and he signed a deal with TBS or TNT to do their playoffs. And I think if you're good in this day and age, you're not under a stone somewhere. You get found and you get promoted. And if you get promoted too far, then you end up coming back. But I think you make it.
My beef, though, is not really a beef, but how come it always has to be an athlete who just retired who gets hired to comment on the sport that he just retired from? You're telling me there's nobody out there in the broadcasting world who just is, you know, a fan who followed the sport, knows what he's talking about, went to journalism school or whatever, and can't get hired to do exactly what Rodney Harrison and Tony Dungy are doing? No, I don't. He's a bad example. But, yes, somebody like him who...
Because athletes have instant recognition and instant credibility.
And I also think you're looking in that role for an athlete who can break down the game in a way that I don't care the most learned sports writer or broadcaster can't do. Just don't know it. I'm sorry, but especially with football, there's nobody that's going to know the game the way they do inside
athletes
that locker room.
Coaches, yeah.
You know, and I agree. Believe me, I would love to have one of those jobs, Eric, but we're not qualified. You know, we're just...
You
know,
well, you guys are.
Well, yeah, Andy is, because Andy... You know, I misspoke. Andy played special teams at Tufts.
So did Eric.
Not really.
Not at Tufts, no.
Andy played.
Plus, he was a kicker, so...
All right.
Until they play 60, 70 snaps a game, you know, on special teams, I don't think your
services did pay attention to the other stuff that was going on.
But you do know my larger point, though. I mean, I think it's really tough for a pro... It's tough to break down the X's and O's of football at
a level that
you need to be a good analyst. That's why I think there's good ones and bad ones, because some guys clearly... Sean Salisbury, to me, appears to be a guy who never even had his eyes open in one of those meetings, and he was a pro quarterback.
Right.
You know, but you listen to Jaworski by comparison, or Phil Sims, or Troy Aikman.
Right.
I mean, that's apples and oranges, those guys. Jaworski can break it down at such an in-depth level, and what makes him, I think, really good is that he does it in a way that is easy for everyone to understand.
Yeah,
you know, he's not talking over your head at all.
But to Eric's point, I'll bet you, and we just don't know about it, I'll bet you there are lay people who are much better than the average guy, you know, ex-athlete you see in the booth these days. But they just don't get the shot.
I don't. Not at breaking down the game. Now, they might be more well-spoken and be able to... give their opinions and whatnot, but they're not going to know. I don't think they're going to know the strategy and the ins and outs of blocking schemes and passing game and all that stuff. I don't think lay people know that.
Well, okay. What about if they played at least to the college level? Would they have that?
Well, that's not a lay person.
But they
that's
never,
an athlete.
But they never played in the pros.
But I mean, you're being a little semantics there. But I mean, I think that's an athlete.
Okay.
I'm talking about a guy who never played. Me.
Yeah.
I never played. I don't think I could break it down. No matter how much I studied, I couldn't break it down the way someone who's been in a locker room at a high level has.
Right, right. All right. Well, anyway, Rodney's going to be on football. Now, is he going to do anything besides Sunday night? Is he going to, like, go on assignment or?
Didn't sound like it. But
I was thinking we should call him for our paper and see if he wanted to do a monthly column.
Well, I want to really try to reach out, well, as you guys are not surprised to hear. I'd like to see if there's anything that he would like to do for us. Leave it kind of open. Leave it in his court.
Let's
do
it.
What about little do-re-mi? What's my budget?
What's up, Paul Perillo?
Do I have a budget? Or is that the answer?
We'll discuss that off air.
What? This is PFW in progress. Fans want to know what's in progress.
He can have lunch on Tuesdays or Thursdays.
And Wednesdays. And
I mean, I
kind
of figured maybe we could get him on the show when they're here for football, whatever, but I think a column would be good.
Where's he going to live?
Probably
I think
Atlanta.
Chicago.
Oh,
I
is
think.
Chicago, he said?
Well, he said he wanted to do a lot of stuff in Chicago.
Right. His charitable work is mostly based in the suburbs of Chicago.
Mayhem? Where is it?
Markham, Illinois.
Mayhem.
Mayhem, Illinois.
So my guess is he's going to be living out there. And plus it's centrally located if he has to go, I don't know, if he has to do something on either coast.
Right.
I mean, usually he's going to be in New York for the Sunday night
stuff. What kind of column would you guys like to see? I'll open that up to the listeners, too. What kind of stuff would you like to see Rodney write about? You know, what kind of column would you be looking for?
Really, calling out other teams and making fun of them.
That's what we're looking for.
Oh, did you hear Rex Ryan, by
the way? Are you just begging for us to be fired? Is that what you're trying to do? What? You got us on the website now making fun of all the other teams. Now you want to get it in the paper.
Did you hear Rex Ryan?
How about?
He's not intimidated by he's not here to kiss Belichick's rings.
Right. Yeah, now did you think
Jesus,
that...
give it a rest.
Now, did you think that that is somewhat disrespectful?
I think it's
to the
just
Patriots?
Stupid.
Okay, but beside the... I know he's the Jets coach by definition. That
disrespectful? No, I don't think it's disrespectful.
Okay, because well, that's the way it was... being portrayed, I thought.
I think
the headline was "Disses Pats."
Yes,
Ryan disses Pats. I think was the headline. Yep. The little blurb.
No, I don't. I don't think it's disrespectful. I just think it's like, come on, you know, who cares if you're not intimidated?
He's been doing a lot of that kind of talk this.
If
off.
I was that's a shtick,
if I, mean, I was,
he,
but if I were a Jets
that,
fan,
that was going to be a shtick.
But if I were a Jets fan, I'd be sitting there and saying, "Well, geez, thanks. I'm glad that I didn't just go hire a guy who's intimidated by the teams he's got to play against."
No, but
I wouldn't be
the
sad.
Guy that keeps. He keeps talking about it. He keeps saying. That kind of stuff. Like until
that's
he actually
who he is,
does.
Though. He's Buddy Ryan's son.
He likes to have fun and he likes to be edgy.
And I have no problem with all that. But on a specific level, I would not be using Bill Belichick's name because I think nobody remembers those types of things longer than Bill Belichick.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that stuff.
I mean,
only
I could hear the phrase
it.
"kiss this ring, Ryan" after some blowout victory.
Well,
for
that's
the Patriots.
That's what'll happen because of the immaturity factor. But
right.
I just think that he's a little bombastic. It doesn't bother me.
Well, he's
that
obviously
he does it, but
being
it's, he's
asked
a little
a lot,
he's
you know,
a little
what
bombastic
do you think about having
right.
to go. And but the way to do it is, hey, look, the Patriots are, you know, until we beat them, they're going to be one of
you
the top
be the
teams.
Man?
Yeah.
You're going to beat the man. Woo!
Did you hear Dungy yesterday talking about that? They asked him who the team of the decade was.
What did he say?
Patriots,
hands down.
He didn't even hesitate.
Well, didn't even hand. You got to say the Patriots. What they've done is
he's a wise man.
Ridiculously difficult. I think
all
the way.
These people are idiots. Wait till the decade's over.
It's ridiculously difficult to be to do what they've done and been at the top for as long as they have
true.
And win as many titles.
Fred Kirsch
and
once told me you can't pick the team of the decade until the decade's over.
Well, that's true.
It's 2009, fathead.
Yeah, the decade's not over. If the Steelers win the Super Bowl, you have a serious argument on your hands.
I agree with that. But the Patriots are going to lock it away this year.
And I'm on board with that. I just think let's wait until they lock it away. This modern era of we have to say everything before it happens, like why can't we just wait and see the decade
well,
play out and then make a decision?
That's what these guys are paid to
because
do, have opinions.
But from 2010 to 2020, it'll be like 2017 and they'll start stamping, and then it'll be 2013, just like high school basketball players. Now it's middle school basketball players.
Well,
everything
no,
gets
as
younger
soon as
the newer.
Decade is over, they'll have to predict who will be the team of the decade.
Right, it's all stupid.
No, it's just conversation, fathead.
Stupid.
You know, it's okay.
Redhead.
I look better, though, today, right?
Yes. You looked absolutely
did you put some
terrible.
Aloe on yesterday? Fred, are you using aloe? Were you moisturizing?
I got really sunburned on Saturday.
Exfoliating?
What?
You're exfoliating?
Kiehl's. You ever hear of Kiehl's no. lotions?
You put no. something on, though.
Yeah.
Because you can clearly
lubricate.
See.
Is that hair gel?
So, all right. So, Rodney.
But Rodney chimed in right after that and says, I have to agree. I think the Patriots. And Dungy goes, what a shock.
So Rodney goes to NBC. He is retired, and it does sound like he's not coming back. There's
he said never, never.
I know that anybody can say one thing and end up doing something else. I would truly be absolutely blown away if he ever played again.
I mean, he said the priority now is golf.
But not only, not only he,
and then family.
Does that, it was golf and family. Say retirement more than my priority now is golf.
But how about the fact that he goes through that whole thing and not only says no, I would never come back. He even made fun of, I mean, not directly, but there were allusions to some veiled
to
shots
Favre.
At Brett Favre.
Oh, absolutely.
And
he did it Parcells' way. He goes, like, with guys. Respect to Favre, and then he, like, ripped him.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to, I would never be part of some, I think he even called it a circus at one point.
Yes.
Favre deserves to be back ripped in every one of those discussions. He really does.
I agree. I have no problem with that.
You know? So that's it for Rodney.
No, that's not it. I think we should talk a lot about Rodney.
No, he means that's it for
as
playing as a Patriot.
As far as his career.
Because I think the next question that everybody's having is,
legacy.
Is he a Hall of Famer? Is he a Pro Football Hall of Famer?
Freddie?
You cannot possibly say yes.
No, Freddie's got to say no.
Because he's a guy that believes it's the elite of the elite.
He thinks Tom Brady needs to win a couple more titles.
Right. And if there's any question at all, he should be.
Fred's Hall of Fame, no. But the way they do it, he'll probably be considered.
All right.
Thanks. He's going to be considered.
I say no.
I say no.
I don't think he's going to get it.
You know, it's really easier, Andy, to determine whether or not a guy's a Hall of Famer after they vote on
the enshrinement ceremony.
What do you mean he's going to be considered? Obviously,
no,
he's going to be considered.
He'll get votes.
Yeah. Is he going to get in?
I say no.
Why?
I would say no, too, but I think it's a good conversation.
Yeah.
It's a very good one because
you have to
the
look
specifics
at the other
of
safeties.
His resume.
Safeties are tough to get in.
Yeah, there's very few safeties. We did a little research on that yesterday. There's not a lot of safeties.
There's not a single modern-day plain safety. There's not a one.
All the guys that are in now that played
Lott,
safety started at
Woodson,
corner.
Ronnie Lott started at corner?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
great,
Lott,
great
Woodson,
corner.
And who's the other one? There's one more, I think.
I can't remember.
Modern-day, you mean?
Oh, now, I am...
you did show prep?
There are 20 defensive...
I'm an idiot, in case you guys are wondering what that was. The microphone wasn't close enough.
20 defensive backs in the Hall of Fame as of right now. 8 safeties, plus for some reason, and some of the safeties they list as cornerback slash safety, they don't list Rod Woodson as anything for some reason, and I'm assuming that's a Chris Ferreira-like just F-up on the website.
Chris Ferreira.
But just those are the guys you got to compare him to is Woodson and Lott, because all the other guys are 50s, 60s, 70s type guys.
And even the safety, like Paul Krause is probably one of the safeties.
64 to 79, yep.
Yeah, is, I don't know.
Charlie Waters?
I don't think he's in
did
the
he make, did he make it?
He's not here.
No.
I'll give you the list. Jack Christensen,
okay, I don't
who's
know.
50s. Ken Houston, 67 to 80. Paul Krause, 64 to 79.
These are all defensive backs, correct?
No, these are
actual
safeties or cornerback safeties.
Yeah, I think Ken Houston was a cornerback, too. I'm not positive.
Yale Larry, 50s and 60s. Something Tunnel,
Emlin.
40s
Emlin.
Through
Emlin
60s.
Tunnel.
Larry Wilson, 60s. Willie Woods, 60s. That Roger Worley guy, he didn't have a position either.
He was a corner, I believe.
He was all corner. And Mel Renfro was safety corner type. But if you look
he's
at Woodson
corner.
And Lott, those are the two guys you got to compare
Paul
to.
Paul Krause might be
day.
The only straight safety out of all of those guys.
Well, not according to their list. But Woodson,
well,
11 Pro Bowls and a Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Lott, 10 Pro Bowls, 3 and was all pro at 3 different positions during his career, free, strong, and corner. So, I mean, just that alone, he doesn't measure up.
Yeah.
Well, the Pro Bowls are going to hurt him, and that's unfortunate because we know that he should have been a Pro Bowler at least a few times that he wasn't.
Well, he's always going up against Ed Reed.
But not only that, I think he gets screwed. You know, he wasn't a Pro Bowler, if I'm not mistaken, in 03, and that was one of the best individual defensive seasons I can ever remember
watching.
Yeah,
his two Pro Bowl seasons were in San Diego, 98 and 01.
He
was an All-Pro in 03.
You cannot play that position better than he played it in 03.
His 03-04 resume is ridiculous. 140 tackles each year, couple picks, couple sacks, and then in the postseason, even better. I think he had like 7 picks over
four
the 2 years.
4 out of 5 games he had.
I mean,
a 5 out of 6.
The heart and soul of that.
Like I said,
defense,
if Belichick had been his coach, his career, he'd be in the Pro Bowl.
And you may be right with that, Freddie.
Pro Bowl,
because
or, the Pro Bowl or the Hall of Fame?
The Hall of Fame.
I know what you meant.
The Hall
but,
of Fame.
Yeah, he's now Andy. accurately just wrote down or pointed out some of the things that he lacks, but there's one I don't think it's a minor stat. I think it's a major stat that he has that no one else ever did, and that's the 30-30 thing. 30 sacks,
until next year.
30 interceptions. No one's ever done that
wow.
in the history of football, and that's and he has that.
He was very versatile.
Yeah, he could, you know.
So he's a lot like Jose Canseco, the first 40-40 guy.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, and the main reason I don't think he's a Hall of Famer is what Fred's saying. I think if he had a chance to play for the Patriots
longer
for his whole career, I think he might have had more years like 03 and 04. Yeah. But in really in San Diego, he wasn't the guy that stood out to me.
He was a good safety.
He was a good solid player. But I didn't think of him in San Diego the way I think of Ed Reed or Paul Amalu or Brian Dawkins or you know.
Well, that's to me hurts him as well.
There's a lot of safeties
thinking
coming
about good safeties. He's in the conversation, but he's not at the top of the list for the era.
Let me ask you, John Lynch. I know what we think of him, but what do you think other people are going to think?
I think he'll get in.
I think he would get more consideration than Harrison, but he doesn't
get
in either.
Right, because he has 10 Pro Bowls, including some at the end of his career when he sucked, which is an embarrassment to the game.
Yeah, see, that's how I feel. I think
he was a Pro Bowler the 4 months or 5 months before he came here, and we saw him not be able to compete on a football field. Don't tell me he lost it from February to August.
Well, Ortiz didn't lose it that fast.
Right. So it's and then we haven't even brought up the drug suspension, which if he is on the border, that could bump him off. I mean, some people might say, you know what? He's borderline.
Right.
And he made a mistake. I can't include him.
Right.
Now, I think going the other way, what'll help him is the next 5 years in the media, because I think he's going to make friendships in the media that will people will promote him. Some people who thought he was a total a-hole will meet him and say, you know what? He was just an a-hole on the field. He's a great guy.
And that factor
that was playing
is
Paul
style.
Can tell you that.
Right. And I just
anybody
say that.
Can tell you that. We can tell you that. I read quotes from out of San Diego this morning from the guy from Texas A&M, the cornerback he played with, high pick, bust.
Quentin Jammer?
Yeah, I believe.
Not a bust.
He stinks. He's not what he was supposed to be.
No, but he's not a bust.
He's Willie McGinnis.
Yeah.
And I think they're both busts, so I'm consistent.
He's been a better player than William McGinnis.
Nah, both busts. But he said, you know, over the years, he got characterized as a dirty player, but I think of all the people I've ever met and played with in this league, he's one of the best human beings, and he gets, you know, miscast in that role. And I think you're going to see more and more of those over the years that will maybe sway some votes to the positive.
Yeah, and if,
that
and
said,
if it
I
can
still
happen,
don't think he gets in.
I don't think he does either. But if that could happen at a low level like it happened with us, Fred, when we met him, you don't think that's going to happen with guys, you know, some of these national bigwigs around the league that maybe don't know him that well?
Plus, Peter King's going to be writing a column about him every 3 weeks.
Oh, Peter King's going to fall in love with that guy. He's going to end up working with him on in texting with Rodney Harrison from my Back Bay mansion. That's going to happen every week. And he's going to love Rodney. Well, I don't know how well Peter King knows him now. He probably knows him reasonably well anyway, but when he gets to interact with them on a regular basis, Peter King is going to love Rodney.
Yep.
And I'll never forget Jim Trotter, he works for SI now, but at the time during Rodney's career in San Diego, he was the pro beat guy there at the San Diego Union Tribune. You could not hear a guy give enough accolades to a player. He told me anything that he does in the field is going to pale in comparison to how great he is in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
And he was not exaggerating one bit. I mean, we all saw it. Every time Rodney spoke in the locker room, it had substance behind
it. You want to talk about circle the wagon guys. Every coach has his guys that he can depend on when things are going tough, that you're going to circle the wagons and he's going to lead the charge. Rodney was Belichick's arm in the locker room.
Right.
He's making sure guys work out. He's giving the business to guys that are goofing off. Mm-hmm. You know,
which is why his criticisms of Peyton Manning coming out and voicing frustrations about the organization publicly
he
carries some weight, because he is a guy that has been a key figure in the Patriots in managing those types of things and making sure those types of things didn't get out in the media and didn't become an issue and didn't fear and cracks in
just
the foundation
the way he talked about it. You're so right. Just the way he talked about it, saying how the other guys look at that position and they look at that place for direction. And when they see Tom Brady keeping that under control and out of the media – everybody follows suit. In Indy, they're watching Peyton Manning let the emotion get the best of him. Not that Peyton Manning's not a good leader. Not that he's not a good guy or a good quarterback. But he allowed these things to bother him publicly.
Right. The now, point other, is, he is a leader.
Now, other players see that, and that's going to hurt the – I think Andy's exactly right.
It sort of
and Rodney
the,
saw it from the inside. He knows the difference.
It gives them the green light to say maybe some things that were frustrating them when maybe normally they wouldn't have, because it's like they might think, oh, well, Peyton went out and said it, so maybe –
How many times do you read something – this is a totally minor thing, but remember, Andy, when you had the Parade magazine thing with the answer to Tom Brady? He's under contract for 2 more years, and you gave it to Fred, you gave it to Eric, you gave it to me. Read that. What do you think? You might have thought something, but right. You weren't really sure. Maybe I'm not reading it right. You don't think players said, geez, this Mudd thing with Tom Moore and Howard Mudd, this seems kind of strange to me. What are we just, at everybody's afterthought around here?
Right.
Oh, Peyton Manning thinks the same thing? Yeah, I knew I didn't like that.
Right,
that's what happens. Yeah. Some backup guard now is irritated, and he thinks he can go public with his gripes. And I think that's the way it just falls in line like that.
Right.
And that's why I think Rodney and Dungy, I think, is going to be a good mix on that show. Unfortunately, we never get to watch
it. Who else is on the show?
Olbermann, who's awful.
Olbermann and Patrick do the highlights. Costas kind of runs the show. Bettis. Peter King is on. Bettis
is
gone.
Collinsworth is leaving, though, right?
Right.
Collinsworth
is going to the booth. Madden.
He's going to the booth.
Right. Okay.
So it's King, Harrison, Dungy,
Patrick Olbermann, and Costas.
And Tiki Barber, I think, is going to do some
roving reporting stuff.
He
and
was,
that's
I
the other thing, Fred,
the
your discussion of athletes, whether maybe they get unfairly. They only get a year or two to prove themselves. If they stink, they get washed out.
Right.
It only gets your foot in the door. It's like anything else.
That's true.
If you suck, you're gone. And we've seen a lot of guys wash out in a year or two.
And don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of people that don't have the background that can get on TV and do a much better job than the athletes do in terms of being smooth and articulating their points concisely. But I think that the good ones, the good athletes that do it, even if they aren't as well spoken as Joe, Northwestern Journalism School, they're saying they're giving you more. They have more substance behind what they're saying. The good
I'll
ones.
I'll come back
the
to Eckersley.
Ones.
Eckersley at times can't speak.
No.
But he's entertaining. He's informative.
Did you see the game last night, by the way?
Did you see
the hit that broke up the no-hitter?
Yeah.
He was absolutely right. I still don't know because they never showed the pitch live again, so I couldn't see the velocity of the pitch. But as soon as the pitch came in and was hit, I can't believe he threw a changeup.
Well, he does harp on he would never throw anything but a fastball. Jeez.
But
he's always.
Did you hear him when he
that's
was.
That's his never ending rant.
Know, but I thought it was very. Two things. One, the guy who tried to bunt the inning before, just for the people that know what we're talking about, Josh Beckett for the Red Sox took a no hitter in two outs in the seventh last night. The inning before, a guy tried to bunt, it just went foul. And it was only 3-0 or 4-0 at the time. So, and he still had the no-hitter. And he goes, he immediately said, that's not right, especially right. A guy who doesn't usually bunt. You don't want to do that. And I don't think Beckett will throw at him here because the situation doesn't really call for it. A, he hit it right on the head. B, the next time that guy came up, the no-hitter was gone. It was 10-0. He got drilled. Okay? So that tells you that he was... Three innings ahead of that.
He broke into his rant of when Paul Molitor bunted on him, and everybody told him it was just smart baseball, and I didn't buy that.
Right.
Let's move on or something. I thought he was going to swear again.
Right. But then he's talking about, you don't want to get – Beckett's a fastball curveball pitcher. Those are his two bread-and-butter pitches. He clearly got beat with his third-best pitch. If it was a changeup, I still don't know. And then he kept wanting the replay that go live. He goes, I want to see the temperature of that pitch.
He's good.
He just
But
he
can't speak
away.
At times. Sometimes he starts talking,
That's
and I
what
have
I'm
no
saying.
Idea what he's saying.
You know, the guy from Syracuse or Northwestern is going to get on TV and sound a lot better.
Right.
But he's not going to say half of what Eckersley is saying.
Right. On the phone right now is John in Palm Bay. John, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, great. John.
Hey, I got a quick question because I'm thinking about going up there. Is there any game, I figured that might have introduced an all-time great team in one of the halftimes this year, and I was wondering if that's going to be posted so I can make a plan to go up there.
What was the question?
The all-time great all-time team?
The all-time team.
That's going to be announced in August sometime, is that not
but
right?
But is there going to be a ceremony, a
I
day?
I think what they were planning on doing is bringing out select members each game. So either if they're around, bring them here. And have them come out at halftime. In some cases, some guys may just not be around. But I thought that they were going to
make it an all-year thing.
Or maybe I'm thinking of moments. I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I don't think they're having a specific ceremony.
No, they're not.
To unveil that team.
Yeah, they're not going to have a specific ceremony.
Unless it's in conjunction with the alumni weekend thing, which could be in the preseason.
Yeah, there's an alumni weekend, which is the weekend of the Cincinnati Bengals preseason game. And a lot of alumni will be here, and that'll be the induction weekend for whoever gets into the Hall of Fame this year, the Patriots Hall of Fame. That's the weekend of the Cincinnati Bengals game. But there's no event for the all-time team.
All right, that's what I want to know. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
And do we have a Sunday night game this year? Is that
we
something?
Have like three. They're all on the road, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because I was wondering
so
if that's
mad about it.
I was wondering
I
if that's
that angry.
Do
I
the
was
Harrison
three,
game.
And they're all on the road.
I was not mad about it at all. I don't know what.
It was Eric's
an
here.
There was an edge. It was kind of like your
there
tone.
There was no edge.
It was kind of like your tone in the SPFWs that rubbed everybody the
there
wrong way.
There was a tone in those. I will give you that.
Are you? Do you have a tone?
Yes,
in
he had a tone.
And this week, yeah, I had a little bit of a tone with a couple of foolish questions.
I can't believe Fred's even paying attention to this show because he complained last week about Alyssa Milano was on in the background.
Now Vanessa
apparently
Marcel's
he's
on.
Never watched Vegas, but Vegas is that's is that Las Vegas or whatever is endless. Is Courtney Cox? No, Nikki Cox. This girl
Vanessa
and then just endless other
hot
girls.
She's unbelievable.
Who's this girl?
She was like a soap actress
that's
for
Vanessa
a long
Marcel.
Time.
She's
phenomenally
she's,
hot.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Okay. All right. Well.
And
hey.
She actually does not transfer over into any of your baseball, Red Sox games, NFL.com. She's just phenomenally hot, which I thought, you know,
and you
as
probably
a male,
wouldn't see her, you know, en route from the stadium to your house either. Like,
what about Nikki Cox? You like her?
Now, who is that?
Right there.
No. She's all right. Not that great.
God, you're an idiot.
Let's see. MP3s. We've got one from Mike. Mikey Vandalism.
He's off. No, don't
now,
play it.
Now
he stinks. He's
hold,
out.
Hold on for a
he's
second.
He's cheating
though.
On us.
Listen.
He's been cheating on us.
Hold on. He sent us a picture
yeah.
with this thing, and he's dressed up like Eminem with soft porn pictures in behind him. I don't know what his deal is, but if that's his dorm room, he never has a chance to get laid because you don't have pictures
just
of
just laying
girl.
It all out there now, huh?
By the way, the voice on the MP3s does not match the photo of the
no.
What are you saying?
No, he looks,
there's a disconnect between
he looks
the
like,
two.
He looks like a Beastie Boy, right?
When you hear the voice, you don't picture the photo that you have
right.
here.
I would agree with that, right?
But all the pictures in the background of the girls in bathing suits, that's a surefire way
some of them aren't in bathing
not
suits,
to have a girl feel food. Comfortable in your room, right? Wouldn't you say so?
Not like you back in your day.
Maybe he goes with the theory you always go back to their room so you can leave when you need to.
The chicks were very comfortable with
anyway, I just
Hugh Hefner Kershaw.
A little
there.
Word of advice for Mikey
Two at a
Vandalism.
Time, often.
So why don't we listen to Mikey Vandalism's MP3?
This is a premium quality MP3 brought to you by Mikey Vandalism.
Happened to the premium.
What's up, guys? At PFW in Progress, this is Mikey Vandalism coming to you with another premium question. So my question for this week is going to be a reaction to Rex Ryan's interview he did on some trashy little New York AM station that nobody listens to. So I attached that for your listening pleasure. So let's hear it.
Nice. Yeah, I never came here to kiss Bill Belichick's, you know, rings. You know, I came to, you know, to win.
How many times
let us put
say
it that
know?
Way. And, you know, so we'll see what happens. I'm certainly not intimidated by, you know, by New England or anybody else. And, you know, so, I you know, again,
I'm a tough guy.
I'm not a guy that is going to say, well, this guy's that. Hey, look, Tom Brady's a hell of a quarterback, no question. I got great respect for him. But I also have a great deal of confidence in the people we have in this building. And, again, if that team can beat us, you know, if New England can beat us, then they must have one hell of a football team.
I don't know about you guys, but he sounds pretty intimidated to me. So what do you guys got to say about all this?
He's running his mouth a little too much for my liking.
We gave Mikey Vandalism some static there for cheating on us, and he has been. We know you're cheating on us. We see you popping up in Mike Reese's mailbag, Mikey. Well, we're going to let it slide because that was a nice get, giving us that audio.
Yeah.
Because it actually
better
translates.
Than our producer.
It translates a little differently when you actually hear the audio.
He was there.
I thought it was our producer at first, but
don't you
should have known better.
Don't you think it sounded a little different than it read?
Oh, God, yeah.
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 And I agree with you. Big, tough guy. That's exactly what he sounded like. Some guy who's trying to be tough.
He's so tough. I'm not intimidated by anyone. Let's put it this way. I'm there to win. Oh, thanks.
Let's
thanks
put
for
it this
the,
way.
Thanks
was
for
one,
the breaking
how
news.
How other way would you
right.
put it? That's
yeah.
what I said. That's what I said. If I were
it's
a Jets
like
fan.
Paul, when he says, to be honest, yeah. have
Let's
you been
put
lying
it this way.
The
I'm here to
Shut
win.
Up.
Thanks.
As a Jets
jerk.
Fan, I would be sitting there saying, geez, thank goodness the guy I you know is coaching my team actually thinks he can win.
Listen
I mean,
to me.
Of course you think you can win.
He just opened himself up a nice can of whoop ass on himself.
Well,
right.
first of
he
all,
he's going to come in here.
We play.
We're going to pull his pants down.
We play at the Meadowlands.
We're
going
to spank him so hard. Well, you're going to, Eric.
Why do you got to get it? Like, why do you got to bring it there?
But it's Eric either, is going to spank him a different way than you're thinking.
We are going to
you're always
humiliate
a
him.
For, like, special
we are
going to
humiliate him as a coach and as a man. Okay, he's going to be humiliated both ways as a coach and as a man. We are just going to send him home. With something between his legs.
God, why does he? He's always a candidate for like Law and Order Special Victims Unit. It's like raping, pillaging.
Wait, but I don't even
gonna
get
bring
what
him
that
with something between his legs. We're going to pull his pants down.
You know, guys say you know you're going to go home with your tail between your legs.
Yeah,
he's going to go with something, a goalpost up his you know what.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you?
We're going to just impale him. He is going
to
be
we always seem to play at the Meadowlands in week two, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to go up
their,
on the
we're always their home opener.
It's at least the third or fourth time that I can remember that we're playing week two, yeah. and we always kill him.
He's going up on the Anthony Smith
big.
Hall of Fame
well, that's the
with
part.
Freddie Mitchell
he's writing a
and
check
all those
his team
idiots.
Can't cover.
What?
I mean, he's writing a check that his team can't cover.
Right.
I mean, that's just...
There you go.
And I have no
Look
problem
at
with his...
throwing out the...
I have no problem with his general shtick.
The Top Gun line.
But you don't specify it towards another team. You don't
right.
pinpoint
Why?
It in.
Why? What does
especially
it get
you? The first... You know, build something first. You have a potential rookie quarterback who you could get killed. Maybe Bill Belichick throws a couple extra blitzes late in the game that kills
oh.
Mark Sanchez.
I'm going to go a little Fred Kirsch on you, too. I even think he was being... disrespectful to Brady there because I don't think he really meant what he was saying about he was a hell of a quarterback. I think he was just saying that. How's that? I'm going to do the Fred Kirsch. I'm not going to go by what he actually said. I'm going to tell you what he really meant. He really meant Tom Brady ain't all that. That's what he meant. I don't even like the way he said that.
I didn't like how he said any of it personally. I mean, he says, if they beat us, that means they're a pretty good team. Well, I don't know if you're a good team.
Listen, all
with a rookie starting quarterback,
yeah,
I have no
rookie,
idea.
And a rookie
you
coach. Who knows
beating,
if this guy can coach?
You are. Beating the Jets doesn't make you a hell of a team
right.
either.
No.
Now, maybe it does.
Winning a few Super Bowls
I'll let you know after
you
the season.
Team.
I'll right. assess the
They've
schedule and the opponent
right.
after
oh,
the
I hope they
I'll
suck.
Pull a Fred Kirsch and wait until the season's over before I tell you if that was a good win or not.
I really
You really get disrespected, too, because we always open up week two at New York. That's always their home opener, which means they never get to have a week one home opener because the Giants must always open at home. Is that how it works?
We opened them at home in 2007. That was week one and their home opener. When Moss had the three touchdowns and went crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was week one. Then last year it was week two. Right. This year was week two. There was another time I think we played because I remember the Victor Green game. We had a long touchdown interception return.
Big nickel.
2002, I think, was week two at the Meadowlands, too.
Okay, but he's really
and
set
we always
himself
win.
Up.
But he hasn't. He set his players up is the problem. As a coach, you're supposed to be putting your players in the best situation to win. He is not doing that.
At
he is
Jets.
Putting meat on their asses and... There's a bulldog chasing them. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
He is putting them at a disadvantage.
I know, and they're not going to like that. His own players can't appreciate it.
Right.
And he's probably going to have a rookie quarterback starting.
Right.
Yep.
He's the guy that has the biggest bullseye on his
All
back.
All those Ryans, what a bunch of bums.
I hated,
really.
I hated Buddy Ryan. I really did.
He's a
I did too.
Jerk.
Did you almost say a bad word?
Yeah.
Really?
Again? Freddie, 2000, week two at the Jets.
Yep.
2001 was at home against the Jets, but 2002 was week two at the Jets. And obviously last year was week two at the Jets. And this year is week two at the Jets. 2006 was week two at the Jets. So that's five times under Belichick that we played week two at the Meadowlands.
And 2007 was week one, so it's we always get them that close to the front of the schedule.
That much.
All right. Hey, on the phone right now is the producer of the Gilligan's Island MP3, which was tremendous. And it's Tree Hugger from Oregon. Tree Hugger, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
That
good.
Was an unbelievable
Excellent
production.
Work. Excellent work.
Great
well
work.
Done.
I just had too much time on my hands, apparently.
Yes, we noticed.
Now, did you write and perform and do all of that, or did you have help?
I did. I wrote it. That was sort of the... I guess the easy part, I don't know, somehow that sort of comes to me. And then I'm not much of a singer, so that was the hard part. But I was figuring out GarageBand, you know, that program, and so I could like duplicate the vocals and add like a harmony. So, you know, I didn't like sing like all the different harmony parts. I just duplicated it.
That's cool, though.
And you did it all one day at work, you said?
Actually, did I got it done in a couple hours.
Wow, at work, though.
Well, I'm self-employed, so.
So your boss won't find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if my wife finds out, that wouldn't be so good.
So what's up?
So, hey, I was thinking about Rodney departing and how many shoes he has to fill. Obviously, on the field, sort of the presence of the big hitter back there in the defensive backfield. Hopefully my guy from Oregon can at least approach that. But I was thinking about the locker room, his presence in the locker room, and not so much his influence on the players, but he was a guy that you guys went to for quotes time and again, I think.
Yep.
And so who's going to replace his shoes in that regard?
That's a good question, because we've lost a few guys like that this year.
Yeah.
We lost Vrabel. He was Vrabel, always right. good.
He was a go-to guy. We lost Harrison, like you said.
We lost a lot of guys that talk. Keith Evans was a guy
who talked every day. All the time.
Yeah. Ellis Hobbs was a guy who talked
Believe
every day.
Believe it or not, Larry Izzo, as limited a role as he played, was always willing to talk.
Seymour talks. Always. He still talks.
The defensive linemen are probably the best talkers, but you can't rely on them because they're never in the locker room.
Yeah.
All three of them are excellent to talk to.
How about Adalys Thomas stepping up to the plate?
Yeah, we'll see.
He's not a bad talker.
Not a bad talker, but he still scares me.
He does. My guess is he's a little bit more proactive in that corner. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe one of the two new cornerbacks does.
Well, I think Sean Springs, to answer the question.
He needs to tiptoe in, but.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a guy. I think he's a guy who's comfortable doing that. I think he's well-spoken. And I think if he gets comfortable in his spot on the team, you'll see him be one of those guys.
But there is definitely a turnover, not just for vocal leadership, but leadership on this team in some way, especially on defense.
It's a good call on AD. I think you might see him
recognize
the need for it. Bruschi's probably close to the end. Vrabel,
probably.
Right next to him, is gone.
Mayo doesn't like to do it.
And they're all young guys.
He doesn't have the personality. He has everything else, but I don't think he has any desire to be a go-to media guy.
But
like
he might also look at it, AD, I'm talking about, they don't need to be doing that. They're all young. You know, Guyton, Mayo, Crable, those guys don't need to be worrying about that stuff.
And
I can take that burden off
of them. I talked to a guy in Baltimore right after he signed, maybe, and he said he was a go-to guy in Baltimore, talked a lot. Everybody liked him until the writing was on the wall. He was on his way out the door, and then he kind of started being...
I remember you said that.
Kind of
That was when you did that radio thing in Baltimore.
Yeah, and he changed a little bit when the writing was on the wall there, but I think he's a guy that may take a more vocal role this year.
I think that's a good read.
And so of all the new guys, you think Sean Springs, from what you've gathered so far, Sean Springs, he's going to be the guy with
Could
the
be.
Quotes?
Yeah, and I haven't. We haven't obviously talked to all of the new guys yet either. But you know, the ones that I have, I talked to Galloway. I don't think that's going to be something that's going to be a strong suit for him.
How about Paris Lennon?
No,
I don't know if he'll be an important enough player to be. You know, I mean, I suppose it's kind of
contradictory.
No, okay. I did, and no.
Okay, well, I mean, that's kind of contradictory because Heath Evans was a guy who you could talk to Heath Evans about the play in the secondary, and he'd give you
a quote.
That's
true.
And let's not forget. Now, you guys are going to laugh at me. One locker to the left is now the leader of the secondary, who I think has taken on a more vocal role.
Brandon Merriweather.
No. James Sanders.
I know.
Has been more quotable and is comfortable talking and doesn't say stupid things.
Well, he definitely doesn't say stupid things, but he doesn't say anything.
Sometimes.
Well, get off his back. I think he's a guy that may be kind of the vocal.
Now, do you think
you
Mayo
know about being on your knees.
Would Mayo ever start talking?
Well, he talks.
Mayo
and he
is
will,
very good,
but he's
when
never
he does
gonna
talk,
be Rodney Harrison.
Like
he doesn't seem
he
to enjoy it either.
He's not gonna be Rodney Harrison.
Last year was his rookie year.
He
so kinda
plays
judge
cat and mouse.
That. You can't judge from
you
that.
Tell, you tell a personality. You could judge from Ellis Hobbs from preseason of his rookie year that he was a talker.
Like
when
I'll
he said
bet you
Bill yeah. we just said Bill just said you might want to rethink the way you play that, and he said no.
I'll
I
bet
mean, you knew right away Ellis Hobbs was
Patrick Chung, I bet you, was a guy that will do that. But yep. probably won't
not
right
this
away.
Year. And
right.
It's going to be hard to get the recorder underneath him while he's doing push-ups in the locker room on the floor there in front of his locker.
You see?
Yeah.
You see?
How about on offense? Who? And, you know, now that Heath Evans is gone, is Moss? You know, Moss is a guy,
oh,
right?
Moss, no.
Yeah. Moss is too picky.
He only talks post-game.
Moss actually openly laughs at the media relations department every day when they go up to him and request him.
Shakes
he openly laughs at them,
which I kind of laugh at.
I think it's one of the highlights of
Welker
walking off the field. No, not often.
No,
and not
well.
Often.
And not well. Well. Right.
As a friend of the show.
Matt I'll tell Light, you, I'll Matt tell Light, you who's Light, very good.
Matt Light.
Underrated Andy's guy.
Logan Mankins.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Funny. For 3 years now, I've been going to Logan Mankins and James Sanders postgame, and now they are the go-to leaders in the locker room.
Has nothing to do with
I
you.
I think you're reading the first guy is way off, because I don't
wrong.
Think he's ever given me a good quote.
Oh, he has. You don't read
I use him a lot, but I don't nothing that's of any substance.
Yeah, you don't
Logan Mankins sure. will tell you about, you know, beating the guys up on the field, and
yeah.
it was good because
yeah.
we got a chance
well,
to
Mankins
pound on the guy's head.
What about Greg Lewis?
I haven't talked to him. I don't know what
yeah.
he's like.
I still haven't seen him eye to eye.
No. If he's with the team, and I say if, and he's contributing, Lawrence Maroney's a potential.
Oh, for
if he makes
out loud.
The team, if he's healthy, if he's contributing.
Seriously. I mean, he's a guy who's not afraid to say
no,
things.
But here's the thing that I would ask you, though, Eric, and he might not be able to help himself, but let's just say for argument's sake he's a big contributor and he finally figures it all out. Does he look at it and say, I don't talk to those guys anymore, and I figured it out. I'm going to keep not talking to those guys.
Yeah,
you might lose them.
Yeah,
because I agree with you. He's a guy that's, if he's around, he's playful. He's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
He'll speak his mind. He'll kind of give you a little bit more than the, you know, just the generic stuff. He's a good guy to talk to, but he has not been consistently
right.
a part
that's
of
why
the,
I had a big qualifying factor there.
I just wondered that if he becomes part of the puzzle, does he then say, well, I've kind of taken a step away from the media, and now it's working out for me. I'm going to keep it that way.
Yeah, it could be.
All right.
So there's a lot of guys to pick from there, Tree Hugger.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's not a bad group. Hopefully they'll be able to step into the shoes. We'll see, I guess.
All right. Well, that's Tree Hugger.
And one thing you can rely on, no one's going to shed a tear over the lack of go-to guys in the locker room. Because as long as they keep winning games, and they're going to do that, no one cares about how many quotes are coming out of the locker room.
Hey, I was just wondering, too, as far as off-seasons go, this is the first off-season that I've even paid any attention to. I know that might be heretical, but, I mean, I've been a fan since the Grogan era, but I've never paid as much attention to the off-season as I did this year. And I'm just wondering, how does this off-season compare with, I mean, maybe they should start a top 10 off-seasons or something.
This is the best.
the best off-season?
No.
Well, it kind
as far, as far
kind
as
of hard
what,
to
though?
Top that 2007 one when you got two all-pro caliber receivers.
When you got Moss.
And Dalis Thomas.
Yeah, when we got Moss after that, on the second day of that draft, you know, just from the web, you could tell that fans were just going out of their minds. They were going crazy.
If we had gotten Peppers... That I'm saying if we had gotten Peppers this offseason would have been like 2007.
You're right.
But I think when we look back on it, this will be the best offseason ever because of what they're going to do this year.
Why don't you keep shoving that fried dough in your fat mouth?
Because
fat
of
head.
The additions that they made in the defensive secondary, because of bringing in Fred Taylor and bringing in Joey Galloway, we're going to look back and we're going to say this was the best offseason ever in the history of the NFL.
No, you're not. They could go. I mean, you're not going to say that. It wasn't a better offseason in terms of player acquisitions than 2 years ago.
But I'm thinking the whole big picture, you know, like Brady coming back from the knee injury.
Exactly.
That's not part of your offseason,
Fred. It is part of your offseason.
No, it's not.
Oh, it made the offseason. It's part of the legacy of this offseason.
If he comes back fully. I mean, we've seen two practices now.
Of course, if. Everything's
an if. I'm not even talking about what his performance is. He's on the team.
I know, but, you know, there was a question of whether he would come back, and then he didn't come, you know. All the stuff with the doctor and this is all part of the off season.
Right. Well, I was talking in terms of the changes that you made. Okay, that's all. I mean, if you want to count that, then this is the greatest off season ever. You're getting arguably the greatest quarterback who's ever played. You're getting him back. So by default, that makes it the
back,
best off season.
He's at the OTAs. It's all part of making it a good off season.
Let's wait until the off season's over and then we'll decide whether it's good.
That's
exactly
right.
That's a very
a good strategy.
Point.
Exactly.
A very
strategy.
Good point, Tree Hugger.
Could still get
all right,
peppers.
Guys.
All right.
Take it easy. I'll see what I can do for an encore. I'm not sure I can top
that's
going to
be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See if you can
tough.
Work a little courtship of Eddie's father for the next one.
I was thinking Brady Bunch, but, you know.
Yeah, I was working on Brady Bunch, too, but I don't know. I had to go with Gilligan. I was trying to figure out how the characters map to you guys, but it wasn't working out very well, so.
Oh, well, Fred would obviously be the skipper.
Why don't you do the Flintstones?
Well, yeah, I was thinking Flintstones. That's a good one. I'll work on that.
Okay.
Wait, before you go, I need to. What do you do? I know you're self-employed, but what? How?
I'm a graphic designer.
Oh.
Yeah, if you guys need any work for the paper, you know, send it my way.
All right.
We could use some creativity on the Pulse pages.
Wow.
Another shot this week at the Pulse section.
See you, Tree.
All right, take it
easy. All right, Tree Hugger from Oregon. It's 12:57. We need to take a break.
In a summer filled with concerts, one band will light the sky like no other. For the first time ever outdoors in New England, Gillette Stadium proudly welcomes AC/DC. Live in concert, July 28th. AC/DC. July 28th, Gillette Stadium. Tickets are on sale now for AC/DC at Ticketmaster.com. The Gillette Stadium box office or 1-800-745-3000. The one concert you cannot miss. AC/DC at Gillette Stadium. Presented by Live Nation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Revolution 4-game mini plan is the best way to be at the games that fit your schedule. Guarantee your ticket to four of the biggest matches of the season at Gillette Stadium. Opponents like Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, conference rival DC United, and Freddie Lundberg and the expansion Seattle Sounders FC. The Revolution 4-game mini plan starts at just $68. Order now and get a limited edition Revolution long sleeve t-shirt free.
Wow, how about that?
Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Pride.
Drives it and in. What a goal. Sandy Diaz.
Passion.
Listen to this crowd or up.
Revolution.
For pride, honor, and victory. The time has come to defend our trophy. Superliga 2009. The rivalry continues. New England Revolution versus Santos Laguna, Sunday, June 21st, 6:30 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. And remember, MLS Futbolito Tournament before the game. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to revolutionsoccer.net.
And now, fun facts from Fred Kirsch.
Well, there's two times to judge a schedule. Beginning of the season and at the end of the season. Judging your schedule at the end of the season always comes out more accurate because now you know how good these teams actually were.
And this is the guy who's extra indispensable.
Him. That was a
fun fact
from Fred Kirsch.
Hey,
Doc,
what's going on?
Turn your damn mic on. I can't hear anything.
My mic's on.
I can hear.
It's on. I can't hear anything.
Did you shut your ears?
How about you turn those on?
Idiot. I peeked outside, and Tacoma's out there with signs that say, I want to work the board. He's like picketing outside here.
I think the other side of those signs say, Eric wants to be on TV.
No. I'm talking about you.
Oh!
I'm talking about you.
Wow.
What's the deal here? Because he's about to file a complaint with HR.
You interested
that
in
he was
TV?
Hired under false pretenses?
No.
Take my spot on that neck and show.
I worked TV for a long time.
He was.
Oh, that's a good point.
You worked TV? I've never seen you on TV.
Worked.
He works TV in a lot of
behind the scenes.
He has right. He has no interest in being in front of the camera, evidently.
Right. He's got a nose for news, though.
What's his stock?
He was hired as a broadcast production assistant.
Who was promised?
Which was...
Who was promised?
No.
According to him.
Promised nothing. It was. It would
not
be
the story he's passing around.
It was going to be fill-in production. He's been producing the Revolution show. He's been producing Revolution Radio. And he'll be helping with game day stuff, and he's handling
all the
broadcast.
He's been doing
all the
things
traffic.
I don't want to do.
That's not true.
So I'm telling you, you're developing a very disgruntled employee. You better do
it's
something
true.
About that.
Hey, right now he's delivering your lunch at 100% accuracy, and that's step one.
Well,
that's
gotta, that makes us happy.
And I got to give him a world of credit today, Fred, because I wasn't here this morning, and he, on his own, just decided to get me something that I normally get.
Yeah, he's making us happy, that's for sure. But I'm worried about his happiness.
It's true. He's a bit down. He was expressing it to us out at camp the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really down about it. You could notice it.
Your feedback is noted.
Eric, wow! That was a put-down to you, Fred.
Wow.
Eric and Andy went up to him. They noticed that he was down a little bit. He needed a little pick-me-up.
Because you know me, I'm compassionate. I see people when they're a little down.
I've often thought that.
We're strippers.
For Eric just called and said he wanted to talk about your compassion, Andy.
Yeah, tell him to suck my compassion.
Oh. Wow. We're strippers.
That wouldn't take long.
He hasn't been emailing in.
I don't know. He might be in jail. Could be.
How do you not think Nikki Koff?
She looked good there.
She is smoking.
Yeah. It's a
Molly
nice show.
Sims, very overrated. But Nikki Cox is, you know, remember she used to be on that bad show with like puppets?
Oh, that's her?
Yeah.
Oh, she's great.
The little kid, the young kid that he was.
Yeah, she's great.
Name?
Okay.
She was either, I mean, she might be married to him.
I didn't know that's who.
A kid that looked like way out of, she was way out of his
She
league.
Is married to somebody ridiculous where you go, no bleeping way.
I forget.
See, this is where strippers
this is who
would
we need
come
strippers.
In. Who is Nikki Cox married to?
Or was married to. I don't know if they're still together.
I think she still is.
But it was someone way below her.
And did you see who Jennifer Love Hewitt is dating?
Yeah, Jamie Kennedy, right?
That's ridiculous. Yeah. He's another tool.
Yeah. They're on that show together, Ghost Whisperer.
She's hot, too.
Did you ever watch that show?
No.
All right. Webradio
I'm the only one who's been completely relieved of my manhood.
Is the...
Well, Eric never had any, so...
Jamie. Here's the mail address.
Nikki Cox is married to Jay Moore.
Jay Moore.
That's not
comedian.
Who I. That's not who I was thinking of.
Good for him.
Is there any history there, Doc? You know, second marriage or anything like that? I was thinking of someone else.
I hate Jay Moore.
That show that he's in is very funny, though.
Gary Unmarried.
Paul watches nonstop TV. Every
yeah,
time you bring
how do you
up,
watch all this
he's
stuff?
Seen the show they're in.
DVR.
That's not accurate.
He never.
I do watch a lot of TV, but I don't.
He's
watch
never
a lot
watched
of
a sitcom.
Shows.
He doesn't like.
Oh. Situation
they're
comedy?
They're actually situational comedies, Fred.
Yeah, and to say that there's none I don't like is ridiculous.
Okay.
There's way more that I don't like
you've
than
you've definitely
I do.
Given them all a try.
I don't like The Office.
You don't like The Office?
No.
What's the matter with you?
I don't think
you
it's
never
funny.
Saw the British one, that's why.
It's not highbrow.
All right. Let's see. Brian from Tuscaloosa writes in. He says, I've never been more jacked for a season, and you guys, especially Fred, are the ones to thank. However, Eric has become very short with fans lately in the emails as well as Ask PFW.
I'm 5'7".
I told you, Fred.
And is giving Fred advice about raising children. Fred, please put the king of pomposity in check.
It's the prince of pomposity, dumbass.
Yes, it is the prince of pomposity. If you're going to quote me,
Eric's
quote me
Eric's not
right.
good enough to be a king.
Let's
not
see.
Yet.
He says, I have some questions
Eric
and notes.
King,
please be patient
way.
And respond to all. I'm sad to see Rodney go. How did so many great things? He did so many great things for us, and sadly, two of our last images of him are painfully going down in the Denver game and being posterized by David Tyree in the Super Bowl. I wish his parting shot was with the trophy in hand. I really want to buy Andy's theory on the roster report regarding Vince's absence being a preservation / not risking a future contract issue. However, it appears to be fully contract related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
but
it's
aren't mutually exclusive.
Yeah, it is contract related. There's no doubt about that based on his comments yesterday. I don't think there's any question. But part of the contract negotiation is to make sure that he doesn't do anything to hurt his side.
Right.
And I think that's where Andy was talking about last week.
Tyler Thigpen says he's going to push Matt Cassel to be a better player. Good one, Tyler. Did you hear about that?
No.
I didn't see that quote, but I think that's probably accurate. They played around the same amount of games, no?
Yeah.
Finally, why do the conference calls always sound horrible? There's constant muffling, static, and computer noises when I download them through iTunes. Rodney's call was almost unbearable due to the noise.
It was terrible yesterday. That was a terrible, terrible.
It was unbearable for us because we couldn't hear him.
You couldn't hear him, Rodney. Yeah, there was a lot of buffoonery going on with different writers making noise. And,
yeah, and you know, that is very, very ignorant.
Inconsiderate.
When they do, and inconsiderate.
Rude. It's rude.
Just put your mute button on.
And it's also very, like, huge egos. Like, oh,
right. I can do whatever I want, you know.
All those types.
A lot of the TV, I've won my award.
A lot of the TV stations do Douche. That. They just put it on, and they're not even there listening. They just want to get, they're grabbing the sound. And
so the desk
you can
has
clearly
not,
hear
yeah.
that you're in a newsroom.
Right.
You can hear phones ringing in the background, people, you know, working. It's very rude and disrespectful.
Ricardo in Jacksonville, Florida says, I have a question about Harrison's retirement. Is Rodney retiring as a Patriot? The media jumped on this as soon as it was announced, but I don't recall hearing if he was going to retire as a Charger or a Patriot.
Well he's technically retiring as nothing because he was a free agent. Now, I guess if he wanted to, he could sign one of those one-day deals and retire a Charger, but I didn't get the vibe that he wants to. And I don't think he really has a lot of
I don't think he has a lot of affection to San Diego. Well, the Chargers, I should say, not to San Diego.
Plus, the Patriots were the one who organized his retirement conference call. That should kind of give away.
But that always is so overrated, what a guy is.
There are times, like Andy said, where a guy will sign a one-day contract.
Otis Smith.
And that usually
did it with the Patriots.
See, Otis Smith is kind of a rarity. Usually those guys are like Emmitt Smith.
Right.
Who played an entire career one place, went
Bork.
Somewhere else,
you
know, and then decided to sign
Bork
a one-day contract. I don't know. Did Bork do that?
Yeah.
He signed a one-day contract with the Bruins?
He retired as a Bruin.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He did.
I didn't say were wrong. I said I didn't know that.
Strippers and or doctor. Can we look that up?
Ray Bork.
Evidently, I'm wrong because it's taken the doc an awful long time to find if Nikki Cox was married to someone before.
She's just hot.
He's on Google right now.
Jay IMDb? Moore.
She was engaged to somebody from Police Academy.
So Ed Too Tall
Steve
Jones?
Steve Guttenberg?
Or? Maybe it was just a...
No.
O.J. Simpson?
Maybe it was just a guy she was dating at the time. What was that show that she was on? It was one of those, like,
WB
shows.
Yeah. I think it was like their first real show.
Yeah, I know. I know the show you're talking about. She's
basically
she
married with children, knockoff
hot.
Kind of.
Exactly.
I mean,
the
same.
And
except for the
and
puppets.
The Bud Bundy guy was the guy that she was with.
Yeah, I don't recall.
Let's see. I guess Salt is the person who bought us lunch today.
Thank you, Salt.
Outstanding.
And Pepper
Salt.
Too.
Thank Pepper for us.
So he says he
give
might
her the old thank you.
He might be coming up in a couple weeks, so maybe we'll meet Pepper.
He told us that on the phone.
Maybe we'll meet Pepper.
Pepper. Salt and pepper.
Fred, you're right. You did lack something on Tuesday that you bring in today. You're right.
I was very distracted. I have a lot on my mind.
Alyssa Milano was on your mind Tuesday.
But there's a lot going on. This is a very, very busy offseason.
It has been.
Well, it's the greatest offseason in team history. Yeah. You've established that.
It's a very, you know, beyond Patriots, there's a lot going on here.
Beyond the Patriots.
At Gillette Stadium and Patriot Place and all the stuff that's happening.
A lot of concerts.
A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff.
That's right. Billy Joel's coming.
Yeah, with Elton John.
I'm going to that.
You're going to that? Really?
I like Billy Joel.
You dropped the coin.
What did you say?
Meow.
Wow.
Wait a minute, Billy Joel's gay? I know Elton John is. So there's no,
he's saying you are.
No, you are a pussy.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute, you can't like Billy Joel? Billy Joel?
That's an old audience.
I thought we weren't allowed to say that word on the air.
No, you're
Isn't
not.
Billy Joel, like, timeless? Like, a classic musician?
Billy Joel is timeless.
I mean,
you can't get after him for
Are
that.
You going to ACDC?
No.
No?
No, he is AC/DC, though.
Oh, wow, Eric.
What does that
mean? Fastballs.
You don't know what that means?
No.
Never mind. We'll tell you later.
A
means you go both ways.
Apparently you have to be part of the subculture to know the lingo.
Oh, don't tell me you didn't even... Don't tell me you didn't
no
know
idea.
That. You're full of it.
Why am I full of it?
Because you're smarter than him. You know that.
Well, that's true, but I didn't know this.
Doc?
I knew that.
AC/DC, you know what that means?
I knew that.
No.
Oh, you're
you've exposed
you're all
yourself
being an idiot.
Yet again.
You're being an idiot.
Fred, did you know what that means?
I did know what it is.
You're supposed to say no even if you did. I didn't know. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, honestly.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
They never set that up in Everett?
Maybe they did, but maybe because I wasn't really an AC/DC fan, I didn't know about it. I don't know.
TG and NJ says, Fred, are you going to get back to the injury report question you hit upon at the end of Tuesday's show? According to Florio... Seems now Gruden hit Galloway's foot injury last year. So if there is no injury report, we're concerned about insiders manipulating the truth. But with an injury report, we get the coaches manipulating the truth. Like the Middle East, I see no solution.
I agree.
It's the first time the NFL's injury report problems in the Middle East were thrown into the same sentence.
Yeah. I don't
say it's accurate, though.
I mean, I don't know. Other than auditing doctors,
I was just eliminated.
Which would, you know, obviously go against the whole HIPAA thing and privacy concerns. I don't know what the answer to it is, you know.
Just get rid of it. It's so useless.
I would just eliminate it, but I don't think there's a solution. I don't think that would fix it. I just think at least no one's lying on it.
Chris with a TIAN says Rex Ryan, he should want to kiss BB's rings, though, since that is as close as he'll ever get to one. I agree.
Well, he has one, doesn't he?
Does he have one? With
Baltimore? The linebackers coach?
He might.
But I get your point, Christian. As a head coach, he'll never get one.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be getting one. Not with the Jets. They're born losers.
What TG has a good idea. Why don't you just have Rodney call in regularly to PFW?
Well, we could do that. I'm wondering about the paper. If we
call it halftime with Harrison.
No offense, TG, but people pay for the paper.
Right.
We've yet to turn this show into a moneymaker other than free lunch for us.
Which, don't get me wrong, that's a nice perk.
By the way, today was Andre Tippett dot Andre Tippett for the cost of lunch.
What?
56-56.
Oh.
Did you know he's turning 50 the same year the Patriots are? How about that? An iconic Patriot turns 50. As I said yesterday in the office when he was standing there, one of the top 10 or so Patriots of all time turns 50 the same year as the franchise.
Wow.
He didn't find it funny.
Let's see.
He rank?
Mario from San Benito.
Third?
Top three. He's one of the only three in the Hall of Fame.
Well, one of them that's not in the Hall of Fame is in the top three, named Brady.
Yet, he will be.
No, right now, with or without the Hall of Fame recognition, Tom Brady is one of the top three Patriots of all time.
Mario from San Benito is writing in.
What are you staring at?
And Fred is staring at a woman or something on TV. Oh, Molly Sims, she's the worst on the show.
She's cute, though.
No, she isn't. She's gross.
Mario says, how's it going?
That.
I haven't written to you in a while because of school, but now I'm free until August. Anyway, I'm sort of bummed out that Rodney retired, but I respect his decision, and I think we all agree that he will be sorely missed. But now, since his career is over, the Hall of Fame talks have begun. Harrison was my favorite player on the Patriots, so this opinion is biased, but I do believe he should be in the Hall of Fame someday, although most likely not as a first ballot inductee. I just read an article on NFL.com about the subject, and some are arguing that he shouldn't be inducted just for the four-game suspension he suffered in 07 because of the HGH. That sounds ridiculous to me because there are current Hall of Famers that have been convicted of murder, COJ, and others such as Bob Hayes that have stints in jail. Now, granted, these incidents happen after both players' careers, but don't you think that those are reasons for which they shouldn't be in there?
No.
Also, how does Harrison compare to other safeties not in the Hall of Fame, such as Steve Atwater, Leroy Butler, Darren Woodson, and even today's safeties like Dawkins, Reed, and Polamalu?
Reed is clearly ahead of him. He's going to be a Hall of Fame safety.
Reed's one of the best safeties of all time.
I think Dawkins is better than he is.
I think all of the guys basically
playing
now.
Polamalu, I'm on the fence.
I was a big critic of Polamalu, but watching him in the playoffs last year, he seemed to me to be at a different level than I ever remember seeing him. Dawkins and Reed, I think, are clearly at a level higher. That's why, you know, we were talking about this during the break. He needs to get in quick if he's going to get in. Because I think as these safeties come up, it's hard to get multiple guys at the same spot.
Although, TG says, what if Rodney becomes a longtime successful broadcaster analyst, has a John Madden-like career, a fixture and face of the NFL for many years? Would that affect any Hall of Fame argument?
Well, then
I think
get
it
in.
Does.
Andy made that point. It'll help him a little bit, I think, because he'll be more well-known to the guys that are voting.
And it's a personal thing in that room where, you know, actual relationships and sentiment play a huge role.
But how
role.
Many years
Bigger
are you
should.
Eligible after you retire?
25.
Oh, it's, oh, is that
was,
long?
I thought it was 15.
No, maybe it's 15. It's a long time.
But he would have to have, like, a 20-year career in broadcasting to be like a John Madden.
Well, plus, John Madden didn't get in the Hall of Fame because of his broadcasting.
He's a coach.
He's a great coach.
880 winning percentage or something
ridiculous. He has one of the best winning percentages ever and was one of the youngest coaches.
Now, that said, he probably would have gone in as a contributor or a broadcaster or whatever later.
Now, if Harrison has that kind of career, he could get in as a contributor, not as a player.
Right.
Which is doubtful.
Yeah, but I mean,
the answer to my Nicky Cox question, by the way, Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, my God.
Was on Unhappily Ever After with him.
Is he dead?
He's not the one that she was with, was he?
She was, they were fianced.
Wow.
Is he dead?
They co-starred in Unhappily Ever After together in July of 1998. They were engaged in June of 99, but they parted ways.
Are you kidding?
After a six-year relationship and a five-year engagement.
Holy
5 years.
He should have gotten that done as soon as possible.
Seriously, what are you waiting 5 years for?
Although it was probably the best 5 years of his life.
So that has to be who I was thinking of.
Wow.
Someone she was way out of his league. Good job, Doc.
Jonas and Durham.
Gary would have had that for me a long time ago, but that's okay.
A listener sent it in, just so you know.
Tomash would have had
not
it a
surprising.
Long time ago, too. What listener? Strippers? Where's strippers?
He's not been contributing
him.
Lately.
No, about him.
I think Dan Heffron did.
Where were you looking? This was on Wikipedia.
Oh, boy.
Just kidding.
Sensitive. I had the name, but I was trying to find more information, and then the email came in.
Emotionally?
Mentally.
Jonas writes in, does PFW have a Skype account? I'd love to call more, but daytime rates plus hold time equals no good.
You know what Fred thinks about Skype. No idea what it is.
Anyway, belated thanks for the excellent draft and post-draft coverage. Andy, have you considered Heart Attack for the blog title?
Oh.
Or is that more of a Paul-appropriate name?
you're going to have
as
one?
In, yeah. Oh.
Let's see. Also,
actually, a Fred appropriate. Are you going to blog at all?
No. Now that Rodney Harris is going to be on NBC, could PFW have him on the show in the week leading up to a Patriots Sunday night game?
Oh, yeah.
You guys have had the broadcasters on before, and with PP greasing the wheels.
Or something else.
That would be you, Paul. Maybe this could happen again.
Thanks, Fred.
the trouble we get in there is all the good guests go to the Rook.
Well, the problem, too, I think when the Patriots play on Sundays, I think everybody's going to want to get Rodney on. I think we have a better chance of getting him every week.
You have a relationship with him.
Yeah, that's why I said
special.
I think we have a chance of getting him every week.
On non-Patriot Sunday nights.
Yeah, and then hopefully we can work something out like that. We have to reach it. We'll do that. We have to effort that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure the number I have for him is still good, so I need to
number.
I need to look into that.
He changed it when he retired.
No, he changed
He
found out Paul had it.
I talked to him a long time ago.
Those late-night phone calls and booty calls were
now,
just uncomfortable.
The Mike Vrabel number I have, I think he may have changed when he was no longer a Patriot, because I think that was still active the last time I tried to use it.
He wanted to cut all ties here.
And he's not, he hasn't returned any of my
imagine that
my texts.
What are you Scott Pioli
imagine
have
that,
in common?
Me.
Mike Vrabel doesn't take your calls, apparently.
Let's see. Alex writes in.
Are you not playing along anymore, Fred?
I think he's having another terrible show, personally. But, again, I don't
know
how to tell
the difference. He's distracted by Las Vegas or
Mad
Men.
As he should be, because Nicky Cox is very distracted.
Alex writes in, remember that Harrison, he'll take the NBC job, so he'll get a lot of exposure. And I think this can only help his chance of getting in the Hall of Fame, because people will get to know him as we do. People will know him and get out of their heads that he wasn't the dirty player everyone made him out to be.
Well, see, that's where you need to draw the line, because he was the dirty player that everyone made him out to be, but he's not a bad guy. Because he was a dirty player. He hit people out of bounds, after plays, with forearms.
On the ground.
All of it. But I love him. So you can't just totally separate the two. He was a dirty player.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's not going to make him a better player either. You know, I agree with Andy to a point. I think some people that might have a bias against him will say, oh, wow, I was wrong about him. You know, maybe someone who has him on the borderline and says, you know what, he's a borderline candidate. He was this, he was that, he's a jerk, he played like a jerk, he's out. That guy might say he's a borderline candidate, and now that I know him, he's a great guy. He's in. Maybe.
But
maybe.
I also agree with what Paul said.
But that's not going to make him a better player.
Right.
That if he doesn't get in early, his chances are going to be severely diminished.
Well, for a while, and then he could get in really late, too.
So like Tip.
Right. So 3 years from now, Troy Brown gets in the Patriots Hall of Fame. 4 years from now, Rodney Harrison?
Patriots Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
Okay.
And she's not even attractive.
You got someone on the phone there. Hi-ho.
Let's see. On the phone right now is Craig from North Carolina. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hell, somebody wake me up.
How are you, Mr. Football?
First off, I love it when Freddie gets fired up. You know, old Rex Ryan, Freddie, boy, he gets all defensive when somebody disses the Pat.
I can't wait till we play those bums.
Yeah, well, you know, Fred, Rex isn't his real name. That's his nickname. His first name's got to be Dick. Okay.
This is the most foul show we've ever done.
Yeah, you guys were talking earlier about leadership. Eric actually wrote two fine articles earlier in the year about how Belichick has, you know, had multiple conversations with Sanders, told him he needed to play a larger role and be a bigger leader and whatnot. So I can't help but agree, based on Eric's articles of what Sanders said, that he is going to play a larger role in that. And regarding the issue of Rodney going to the Hall, you guys know I'm a big-time homer, just like Freddie sitting there, and I can't help but say, hell yeah. And if you do an analysis of all the statistics, even of the guys that everybody views as so great right now, the safeties, Rodney's still ahead of some of those guys. And if I'm talking prorated numbers and all that kind of stuff. There's not one of them has outperformed Rodney at this point.
Ed Reed. And
who are we talking about? Which guys?
Oh, Sanders, Polamalu, Dawkins, Reed. Have in certain areas, okay? Look at Dawkins' numbers. Over his career, he's got 21 sacks and 34 picks. Okay, Rodney's got 34 picks as well. But he also has 30 and a half sacks. Plus, Dawkins is only averaging 4.9 tackles per game. Rodney's leading the whole crew with 7.1 tackles per game. The only one who's even close is Bob Sanders at 6.4.
And, well, to further help Bob Sanders' cause, he was named NFL Defensive Player of the Year,
yeah, and Bob Sanders, is going to have no shot at being a Hall of Famer unless he suddenly plays like 8 consecutive seasons without getting hurt.
Right.
He's held no shot
right
whatsoever. So to compare him to guys like that, you're comparing, to me, Sanders is a guy who's not even in a Hall of Fame conversation. So to say Rodney's got better numbers than him, I think, is kind of irrelevant.
Okay, then
Brian Dawkins, I think, is a better player than Rodney. I mean, that's just my opinion.
What about Polamalu?
I think that he needs to do what he did last year. Earlier in his career, I think he was very, very overrated.
I think he's been overrated.
But Ed Reed, to me, blows Rodney away in terms of his impact on a game.
Ed Reed's one of the best safeties ever.
He blows him away because he makes the highlight reel. Ed Reed's got 43 picks, which he is awesome. He's off the hook. I mean, more as a DB than as a safety. The guy's got 43 picks to Rodney's 34 in his career. But Ed Reed's only got 5 sacks. Rodney's got 30 and a half. And Ed Reed he averages less than 4 tackles per game.
Yeah, I would say
Craig,
Rodney,
who's a better player?
Against the pass, Ed Reed. But what about against the run?
Who's a better player? Who do you think is a better player? That's all I'm asking you.
Let me ask
you.
You're asking me to pick between my favorite guy ever,
yeah,
my second favorite Patriot of all time, and I'm telling you I think Ed Reed is a better player. I mean, can't we just kind of admit that the guy's a better player?
On the Ravens.
You don't think his impact on a defense is bigger than Rodney's?
Listen, hear me out. On the Ravens, Ed Reed was able to do certain things because of the defense he had in front of him. Rodney was asked to play on the line. Against, you know, step up, play like a cornerback, play against the run.
Because
play
of the defense he had around him.
No, right, and
because
that's
of
the reason
his
why Ed Reed, after 7
no.
years,
Ed Reed was never asked to play
sacks.
Against the run. Maybe he can't.
What difference does that make?
Maybe he can't. We don't know.
But Rodney was able to do all those things because he had a Super Bowl caliber team around him.
No, Rodney was able to do all those things because he was a super athlete and was versatile.
Okay, then
not every safety can do what Rodney
did.
Then
why did Willie McGinnis turn into a whole different player once they got Bill Belichick and this great defense around him?
Yeah, but he didn't turn into a Pro Bowl caliber player.
Of course he did.
No, he just extended his career.
Well, first of all, I would argue with you that Willie McGinnis was head and shoulders better in 2003 or 2002 or 2001 than he was in 99 when he was making Pro Bowls.
Well, everybody that
okay,
yeah, okay.
So to say he was a Pro Bowl caliber player, McGinnis was a better player under Belichick than he was under Carroll.
But Craig makes me think about about Harrison's versatility. Yes, what we see Ed Reed do, he's the best in the league, perhaps the best ever. And that's
called a Hall of Famer.
Anticipate passes and patrol that defensive backfield. The best ever.
You're not going to get me to say anything negative about Rodney.
But he doesn't do what Rodney does.
He's not a run stopper, guys. He's more of a defensive back than he is a safety.
Who cares? Randy Moss is a big
player. And Rodney's more
of a
linebacker than he was a safety. But what's the difference? He was a great player.
You've
got to
measure it against just greatness. Who's great? Doesn't matter what their versatility is.
Deion Sanders couldn't tackle a fly.
Right. Yeah,
but he was a great player.
What he did was so good that he's a Hall of Famer.
Ed Reed is the exact same thing.
No, I agree. I agree, but you get back to
Ed Reed changed the whole complexion of how you went against the Baltimore defense for 5-6 years now.
Yeah,
now, look,
he's the guy. He's the guy that you had to worry about.
Ed Reed is awesome, but I guess my point that I'm making is that Rodney is versatile in the scheme, and he was versatile enough in the scheme that he played and the role that he played that even when you look at the players that are playing now and the 7 pure safeties that are already in the Hall of Fame, that he's done what none of them has done previously, and he's led them all in tackles per game that he's played. So I understand your point, Paul, and I think Ed Reed is an awesome player, but his role is completely different. So given what Rodney was asked to do, damn well, he deserves to be in the Hall.
Well, I don't know. See, Craig, when you talk about who's a better football player, and I know that it's crazy to even think that Rodney is a better football player, but he wouldn't get in the Hall of Fame and Ed Reed would. But because what Ed Reed did was just so amazing, he will get into the Hall of Fame hands down. Rodney will not get credit for being maybe an all-around better football player.
Yes, he will. He's going to get consideration.
Troy Brown is a better all-around football player than Ed Reed.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Troy Brown will never get into the Hall of Fame.
That is, so you think Troy Brown a better all-around player than Randy Moss, too?
Because you don't get into the Hall of Fame for being
an
all-around.
Is Troy Brown a better all-around football player than Randy Moss, too? I'm out.
Yes, Paul. Listen.
This is crazy.
Listen.
Because a guy is so good at what he does, doesn't mean he couldn't do anything else if he was asked to.
Listen to me.
You're making a very, very big mistake of just assuming
that Randy Moss could play cornerback?
Randy Moss could do absolutely anything on a football field. He's that skilled.
No.
He'd play tackle if he had to.
No, he couldn't.
This is an insane argument.
It really is.
No. Being Troy Brown is one of the best all-around football players the Patriots ever had.
Why? Because he played a couple of different positions well?
Is he a better all-around football player than John Hanna? John Hanna's in the Hall of Fame.
Is he a better all-around football player?
Than John Hanna. Of course he is. But you don't get credit for that in the NFL.
I don't think Troy Brown did anything at a level that John Hanna did guard.
Of course. But being
so good, I don't know if I could call him a better all-around player.
See, being good at a lot of things doesn't get you
into
the Hall of Fame.
So let me
Mosey Tutupu a better player than Troy Brown?
Evidently.
Or is Heath Evans a better player? I mean,
if you're versatile, that means you're a better all-around player.
Things.
Not as well.
Let me ask you this, Fred. Do you think if for some reason the Patriots had this rash of injuries and were totally decimated on the defensive line, you think John Hanna could have got over and played defensive tackle and think he played could have played it well?
Oh, he might have, yeah, sure.
Would that have made him a better all-around player than he was?
He couldn't run as fast. He couldn't catch the ball. He couldn't see.
He's a lineman.
He's a lineman.
Right.
Why would he run as fast as a wide receiver?
That's why football is different than a lot of other sports. You can get into the Hall of Fame by doing one thing amazingly well.
And what sport is that not true in?
Right.
If you're a great goal scorer in hockey, you're going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but you
if
have to be a great
home run
skater. You
if
have
you're
to
a
be
great
a good
home
stick
run
handler.
Hit, no. Cam Neely's not a great stick handler, not a great skater.
Sure
he was a great goal scorer.
In front of the net, he could stick handle through traffic.
Fred, there's a laundry list of guys that just scored goals in hockey that are in the Hall of Fame. There's a laundry list of guys that just hit home runs in baseball that are in the Hall of Fame.
Look.
Pitchers just pitch.
Shaquille O'Neal played 3 feet from the basket,
I'm telling
and he's
you right
the greatest center of all time.
I'm telling you right now.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Being an all-around versatile player does not get you into the Hall of Fame. And I will say right now, as an all-around football player, Rodney was better than Ed Reed. But Rodney will never get into the Hall of Fame.
So you're telling me that you don't think that if the Ravens wanted to, they couldn't walk Ed Reed up to the line of scrimmage and have him blitz?
I don't think he had the body makeup. Well, the blitz is different.
You don't think he could do different things?
I'm talking about playing against the
run. He is a a transcendental player playing the deep middle of the field the way Belichick talks about.
Exactly.
You don't want to have – he's better one guy deep than two guys deep would be.
This would be
why would you ever take him away from there?
And that's why he's going into the Hall of Fame.
But you're holding it against him by saying he's not as good an all-around player as Rodney.
Because he didn't need to do a lot of other things on the Ravens because they had such a great defense.
So don't make the mistake of saying that that guy with that athleticism and those football instincts couldn't do everything that Rodney could do.
Fred, Rodney had a great...
I know. I can look. I can use my eyes and see how good the guy is.
Rodney,
I know he could.
Rodney had a great defense around him in 03 and 04.
But Rodney could not do what Ed Reed does in the middle of the field. He couldn't. He could not do that.
And that's why he's not going into the Hall of Fame.
But you say he's
a better all-around player then.
Fred, who's
all around?
Using your crossing over into other sports, who's a better pitcher? Mariano Rivera, who's played for 15 years and thrown one pitch, or Daisuke Matsuzaka, who throws 17?
I would say Rivera.
He only does one thing. I don't know why.
Does one thing.
He's thrown a cutter for 15 years.
He pitches. That's what they do.
And these guys play. I mean, what are you talking about?
I'm lost in this argument.
How many times did Rodney Harrison return kicks?
There's different roles in football. If you're a pitcher,
Ed Reed has returned kicks, but he's not versatile.
It's
all he plays is center field.
I'm just telling you. Just look with your eyes, and you tell me what you think Ed Reed couldn't do on a football.
Go out on the playground, line Rodney Harrison and Ed Reed next to each other, and say, "Bill, pick your team," and he'll answer it for you.
He'll pick Ed Reed.
I mean, Ed Reed 100 times out of 100.
Of course he will,
because Ed Reed could do anything Bill asked him to do.
Ed Reed can take care of the back of the field so you don't have to worry about it for anyone else.
I think we've heard Bill talk enough about
that. How did we turn this into ripping Rodney?
That's what
you
I said.
Succeeded
I
somehow, Fred Kerr, in making us rip
And I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say anything negative about Rodney.
Because
I don't
Rodney
think he could do.
Is unique. He is maybe
that's
one
right.
Of
he
unique,
is unique.
But that in and of itself
and I love the guy. I'm not going
to. Troy Brown was unique. He doesn't have a shot to go into the Hall of Fame.
But Troy Brown wasn't anywhere near as talented as the guys that we're talking about.
But you asked Bill Belichick, and he said he's one of the best all-around football players I've ever coached.
But that's fine. But don't tell me he's a better player than Randy Moss. That's all I'm saying. He's not a better all-around player than Randy Moss. He's not.
Well,
if you asked Randy Moss to play cornerback, I'm positive he could do it. I'm absolutely sure.
I don't know.
Too good of an athlete not to be able to.
I don't think
to.
He has the swivel hips.
Randy Moss was
the swivel lips.
Randy Moss stupid things.
But when they have the Hail Mary situations, who's the guy that goes back there?
All that is jumping up. You know that.
Fred,
that's not
that's athleticism.
You stand
Fred.
In the back of
it's
the,
athleticism and
it's
instincts.
Vertical leap.
Randy
that's
Moss was
is.
Mr. Yeah. Basketball. And the same year he was Mr. Football. The guy played baseball at an incredibly high level. He could do anything.
Well,
he was incredible.
You're
athlete.
Holding against guys that are so good at the one thing that they do that the teams employ them just in that way. You're holding that against the guy and saying he couldn't do all these other things.
No, I'm not
saying. If Troy Brown was just asked.
I'm not saying they
just asked to do one thing, maybe you wouldn't think that much of him. But he obviously needed to do other things because he didn't do anything really exceptionally well.
Because he wouldn't
have
been in the league if he hadn't.
I love Troy Brown. This is, again, it's like Rodney. I have to say things bad about Troy Brown, one of my other favorite Patriots of all time. This is silly.
Fred is a magician. He makes you turn on people with his idiocy.
No, I'm just saying that there are guys who, in all sports, are just all-around great athletes for that sport.
Randy Moss is one of them.
But they don't do
Ed Reed's another.
But they don't do any one thing that amazingly where they'll ever get into a Hall of Fame.
To Rodney's credit, the thing he did amazingly was hit people. That's what he'll be remembered for, how hard he hit people.
Well, that's one of the things.
I think
but he
that
was also
Rodney,
very smart. I mean,
I think Rodney's in the conversation. I think he's a borderline.
He's a borderline.
Candidate.
And that's not like disrespectful to only be in the conversation.
No.
Only X number get into the conversation, and then from that, another X actually make it.
I'm not going to sit there, you know, the day that Rodney gets enshrined, I'm not going to sit there and say, wow, that really cheapens the Hall of
Fame.
He doesn't belong. No. I think he's got a good argument to be made. He's the only player ever. With 30 and 30. That's a
and you know what
I
this
think that's
is?
A very unique
there's a little bit
stat.
Of Tippett-Taylor here. Because Andre Tippett was the best all-around outside linebacker, played the tight ends, played the run. Lawrence Taylor, what did he do? Rush the passer. But he did it at a ridiculously elite level.
Right.
Correct?
And he also could do those other things.
Right. Right. But that's my point. Ed Reed plays center field at a ridiculously good level. I think if you put Ed Reed up at the line of scrimmage
there's
and blitzed
no doubt
him,
in my mind.
He would have 5 sacks a
there's
year.
There's no doubt in my mind. If they asked him to get close to the
or
line of scrimmage,
asked him
he would
to
have
run
as many tackles
man for man
as
with
does.
A tight end or whatever. I think he can do everything that's entailed in that position.
Now how about Deion Sanders? Could he go up against the line and
Deion
and
play Sanders clearly wasn't a physical player.
He didn't want to.
He didn't want to.
He said it. He
anybody
didn't like
can
to tackle
if they want to. You get in the way.
Right. Ty Law was an excellent tackler.
Yes, he was.
Deion Sanders didn't want to tackle.
Deion didn't want to do that. He wanted no part of it.
Basically told people, I'm not going to tackle.
Right.
And he played at such a high level.
He wanted a return kick.
That he got away with
it. You take the bad.
He didn't want people to throw at him.
So was Ty Law a better all-around player than Deion Sanders? Of course not. Deion could return punts. He could return kicks.
Right.
You know, I'm just talking about quarterback.
He could play wide receiver.
See,
again, you're making the same mistake. Deion didn't want to do those things. You're making the assumption that he couldn't.
Well, I don't know if he could tackle.
Don't tell me you couldn't put him on the edge and blitz him off the blind side and he wouldn't get there with 4-2 speed. Bill said, he was running out the door in Arizona at the combine and just kept going, remember?
You know, Deion, he may not have wanted to tackle because maybe he couldn't.
Oh.
I mean, have you ever seen Deion Sanders lay a good lick on anyone?
He didn't want to. I thought Ty Law was an excellent tackler. I never saw him make a good lick on someone.
Yes, I did. In the backfield, absolutely.
Deion was afraid of getting hurt. That's why he didn't want to tackle.
He wanted
should be protected.
He wanted elite Sanders athleticism.
Well,
I'm not defending Deion for playing like that.
Well,
but
I think Rodney was a pretty good player.
To make the extra.
So do we. We said he's a borderline Hall of Famer.
We just don't think he's going to get a bad guy. That's all he's doing. All he's doing right now is he's trying to make it out to be that we're saying that Rodney's no good. You're a miserable human being.
All right, Web Radio.
Frederick.
That's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Let's see. Steve writes in.
Yeah, we haven't had one of those in a while. That was good.
That was good.
He hasn't been an idiot in a while.
It's good.
If you wait till after the career's over.
Let's see. We have a little another MP3 from Steve. You ready with that, Doc?
Stevie H.
Doc's ready. Let's go.
Hey, ladies. How are things? Let's get straight into it. Hey, Deuce Thomas. When should we trade him and what should we expect in return? Everyone else in the league seems to be quite high on him. Oh, and no joke today, I thought I'd sing you guys a song. My bitch is on the decks, you ready?
Hit it, Steven.
My milkshake brings all the guys from the yard and their life is better than yours. Damn right it's better than yours, I can teach you but I have to charge, I know you want it. The thing that makes me what the guys call it crazy for. They lose their minds the way I whine. I think it's time. La 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 la. Warm it up. La 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 la. The boys are waiting. La 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 la.
What the hell is this?
Warm it up. La 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 la. Oh yes, and milkshake is when I with my wife, and then she a candlestick, but any root vegetable. Usually on her back, but sometimes on her face.
Oh, you're about 3 seconds too late.
You're supposed to screen these.
Oh my god!
I did. I was hoping it was going to get better the second
you
time.
We gotta stop airing those.
Oh man,
they've really crossed the line.
I just like to point out this is maybe the most vulgar show in history, and I'm not involved in any way.
I know.
I have not said one inappropriate thing.
Yes, you have. You've said inappropriate things to me.
Those are, you know, not above and beyond. He's been.
You
above
sound
and
like your feelings are hurt. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
You need a moment?
No.
But
you need to really. We can't.
Were
be
those the
those.
Real lyrics to that song?
What song was it?
The Boys to the Yard, that song was popular like 2 years ago. Maybe.
I don't know. Paul's left. He just took up in I don't know where he is.
He probably went to his office.
Mr. John's room?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Mr. John's
room. Okay, well, anyway.
I couldn't even understand anything in that MP3.
Yeah, I had
the
a
voice
hard
is getting listening. The voice quality is really getting horrible.
Oh, look. Well, I think it was
my
fine.
My guys are on TV.
Oh, yeah, the little babies, the talking babies for E-Trade?
Yeah.
You have a voice.
He's growing some hair. Look at that.
John in Dallas says, when you compare Rodney's stats to other safeties in the Hall of Fame, he is on par. If you compare Rodney and Dawkins' stats, Rodney is clearly ahead. Rodney has over 300 more combined tackles and more sacks, plus 2 rings. In terms of the greatest Pats of all time, I have Brady at number one. So.
Well, no, he's not allowed to be because he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, according to Eric.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
I'm glad to see you guys are still getting along.
You missed the most vulgar thing in the history of the show.
Another one?
It was Stephen Hawking about talking. I can't even say.
Explaining what a milkshake
was. Are you going to start to listen to these before you put them on the air?
You're supposed to scream them.
I did. I was trying to.
So then why did you play that?
because
the last
thought
one
it would
was
get
clearly over
better.
The line that he played.
But
he wouldn't even play that on the line.
About things
it,
that we can't say.
Yeah,
well, he censored himself.
It went way too long.
He didn't censor himself. He talked about
the way Fred talked today
on his wife's
maybe you can say
back
that,
in her face.
Oh,
I'm not sure
he did.
But he did the bleeps. But he came up by saying face and back and all this other stuff.
In a candlestick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know where the
candle wax.
I mean, I can imagine.
Yeah. I don't. Tacoma wouldn't let that go through.
He sent it to me again.
Tacoma sent it to you?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. John at South Carolina. Does it matter if Ed Reed is better than Rodney? The question is, does Rodney deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? He's the only player with 30 sacks and 30 interceptions. He has
Until
done something
year,
that no
again.
Other player
he's
has
in
done.
The, he's in the conversation.
So he
yeah.
deserves
we'll
to
out.
Go to the Hall of Fame unless someone beats 30 and 30 before he gets in.
Well, then he won't be in because Ray Lewis will do it next year. I believe he's at 34 and 28.
I think, yeah.
So...
Well, Ray Lewis is getting in.
Well, I'm using his criteria. He said he deserves to go in unless somebody else beats it before.
I think
but that's flawed
big,
logic. As
I
said,
that,
Jose Canseco is the first member of the 40-40 club, and I know steroids is part of it, but he was not a guaranteed Hall of Famer even without the steroids.
I don't think he would have been a
so,
Hall of Famer.
So just the numbers thing, I know there are certain criteria people look at, but it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, and I love
and
that.
It shouldn't
I love
just
that
be about
stat.
Numbers either.
Right. Rodney's unique, and the reason we're talking Ed Reed is because another one of the qualifications, were you the best at your position of your era? And Ed Reed is in his era. And Ed Reed is better.
Yes, he
yeah.
is.
Yeah, and that's why we were talking about him in particular. But
and the others.
I love that stat.
Woodson.
I love the 30-30 stat, but you don't get in because of,
right.
you know, some kind
Willie
of...
Willie McGinnis leads, what
yeah.
is it, the postseason
per
game sack
per game.
Leaders. It's one of the, 0.78 sacks per game.
Yeah, that
oh,
stat
he's a
is,
Hall of Famer. He's better than
that stat
Lawrence
useless.
Taylor and Bruce Smith and all those guys. No, he's not.
Rodney's going
to not even in the conversation.
Rodney's going to have a shot, and he's going to get he's going to get some benefit from having played with the Patriots during their yep. dynasty. And much like there's the, you know 8 or 9 Pittsburgh Steelers that went through that 70s dynasty, not all of them were the guy. You know, not all of them were Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, and you know Lynn Swann, Jack Lambert. Some of them were Mike Websters and guys that were a little bit more behind the scenes. Mel Blunt, great players. But they weren't all the same, you know, they weren't all the face of the team. And I think Rodney's going to benefit from that. You know, that last email, it was that John who just said, you know, how much stuff that Rodney has that Dawkins doesn't. 2 rings to none. That's going to help him.
Yeah.
That's a big stat.
Now, Paul, you just brought up the Pittsburgh Steelers mid-70s and Mike Webster. I think that right there is the reason why Harrison, if you think he's a Hall of Famer, you can't keep him out because of the 4-game drug suspension. Because
oh, I would
you have that. People in the Hall of Fame that you know were on steroids.
And you know me, I'm totally inconsistent with this.
No, I know. But I'm just saying.
Baseball, it bothers me. Football, I know they're all doing it, so it doesn't bother me.
But that's my point. I mean, you can't. There's basically proven fact that there are people in the Hall of Fame that built their careers on
You're
steroids.
Right. You're right.
Whereas
was,
in baseball,
I was making a joke
it's
before,
all but... speculation, hearsay. I'm sure there's guys in there that use steroids, and there's guys not going in now because they use steroids. Well, that's all speculation. In football, there's not a lot of doubt involved. There are Hall of Famers that we're juicing.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit too, Fred. My point on baseball is I don't necessarily want to ban the guys that juiced. I don't want to do that. I don't think that's fair. But I think what you do is you make it – I think you have to make it in your mind tougher to get in. The standards have to be raised. You can't use the numbers that you used to use. You have to look at it and say
yeah. –
okay, this is the steroid era, 95 to 2005 or whatever, for the most part, is the steroid era. Hopefully it's at least behind us at this point, or at least starting to be. But
the
you have to judge it on how much they dominated. You know, Fred, Andy used the Rodney Harrison. Is he the best safety of his era? Is the guy that you're talking about, Barry Bonds, to me, is still a Hall of Famer. He absolutely was the best player of his time.
Right.
And at a time when they were a lot of guys... We're abusing them, you know, the system.
Right.
So to me, he's still a Hall of Famer. Mark
right.
McGwire, in my opinion, is not, because I don't think that he was the head and shoulders best
All
player.
All he did was hit home runs.
There was a year or two that he was the best player, and he hit home runs at a historic level,
yeah.
but I think that's all he did.
Yeah.
But to pull that back to Rodney, he wasn't.
No.
He wasn't the unquestioned best player of his era.
Oh, no.
Even at his position.
No.
So.
He's a borderline candidate.
With a black mark.
Mm-hmm. And... A Which couple of Super Bowl rings that I think could help him.
That could help him. And his, as we said, his stint in the
you know,
media
this might
could
be
help
the
him.
Time that I do the Fred. You know, Fred's been, you know, kind of pushing me. He wants me to write the Rodney story. Maybe I try to get him in the Hall of Fame. I call him up and say, "Hey, what do we got to do to get you in the Hall of Fame?"
I want to wait.
So you would be like Ron Borges really helped
Tip
get in. You would help Rodney.
It'll probably be Ron Borges again.
But the only problem is you don't get a Hall of Fame vote. So I mean,
I don't need a Hall of Fame vote.
Yeah,
how does that work?
You need to go in there and argue.
Who
could you imagine? You know how fast they would throw me out.
Oh, that'd be great.
How do they decide the writer that presents in dual team situations?
Oh, I don't know. I think someone would have to take the lead there.
Because I mean, it's clear that championship
wise, Trotter probably knows him better, but his accomplishments were with the Patriots.
But even forget that. I don't think Rodney wants to be a San Diego. I think there's ill will there.
But
as far as who presents,
yeah, I don't
the
think that
nomination,
the ill will wouldn't have. I don't think he would have any ill will to Jim Trotter. If
it had to be a collaboration.
But there's a tie to San Diego there that I don't think he would want. I think he wants his ties to New England. Like, he wants to hitch his.
I would agree with that.
That won't be a problem for, like, say, Curtis Martin, who spent the huge bulk of his
in New York,
and Rodney spent the bulk of his career in San Diego. But his accomplishments, like Paul said, were here. So I think there'll probably be some collaboration between the two cities. I would think. I don't know how it's going to work out. But
there's one person who's presents him. It was Ron Borges for Andre Tippett because Andre Tippett never played anywhere else. You know,
unless
the guy
they
in
make
Denver
a case
for John Elway.
Has there ever been a case where there's been like dual presentation?
Well, what about Mike Haynes? Who presented for him?
I don't know.
I'm
going to guess someone in Oakland.
Right, that's what I would guess too.
Although it could have been Borges. Could have been. No,
right, wasn't he in Oakland at the time?
It would have been. Well, yeah, that's a good point. But if it was here, it would have been Willie, right? Will McDonough.
Mm-hmm. Brady's Will McDonough.
No, the real Will McDonough. Will McDonough.
Right. Did you see McDonough again?
At
Cannes Film
Con
Festival
Film Fest?
With nobody. Like Brady's not there.
He
Giselle's
doesn't need
not
him anymore.
There.
He's his own celebrity.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing, the little world he's carved out for himself via Tom Brady.
It is quite impressive.
Let's see. LT from Adelaide, Australia, currently in Singapore on holiday. Hey, guys, and the princess of pomposity.
wow.
This early on to the offseason, can you guys predict the starting lineup on opening night on both offense and defense?
Oh,
also, can you guys tell us which battles in camp you are looking forward to watch and which rookies will break into the starting lineup at the start of the year, and will any of them break into the starting lineup by the end of the year?
Holy
thanks
crap.
For the great offseason coverage. Keep up the good work.
Cornerback.
Cornerback position. Yep. Tight end.
Because it has the best group of talent vying for limited roles, and they have to face Welker, Moss, and Brady.
Inside linebacker. Outside linebacker.
Yeah, I'm not all that excited. A little bit on
you're
outside.
Not excited?
No.
Intrigued is a different word than excited. Because interested. Yeah. I'm interested to see who actually plays, but I'm not all that excited about whoever ends up winning.
I'll buy that.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, I think cornerback, you could see any group of five guys win starting jobs. Any of those five being good.
Yeah.
Could any of
I know
those
Fred
guys
thinks
cut?
Lee Bodden can't play, but I think Lee Bodden could be a Pro Bowler.
He just did you a thing.
Right.
That's what you do.
I don't
how
do
you
that.
Like
he
it?
Does that.
How do you like
he
it coming
goes,
back to
right.
you? How do you like it coming back to you? That's what you did to Andy and I.
I don't think any one of them could be cut.
Anybody?
Well, I think somebody will be cut, but I don't think Bodden, Springs, Wheatley, who's
Will
the
Height.
Other guy, Will Height, or Butler will be cut. And I think,
yeah,
to me, those
that.
Would be the guys that I would say,
so
wow,
those
he was cut.
So those five
are lost.
And then
Sanders,
Merriweather,
Chung.
Yep.
And probably McGowan, the way it looks.
McGowan, yeah.
So that's nine.
So far. So that means Span on the outside.
What other defensive backs do they have that we're forgetting? There's got to be someone else.
Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does he count as a defensive back or a linebacker?
He counts as an expatriate on August 30th or whenever final cuts are.
I think you're right.
Which is not to be disrespectful. I just don't think he's going to make the team. Starting lineups. Well, the offense, it's pretty, except for running back, tight end.
Mike Richardson, we were thinking of. He'd be on the outs.
I mean, I think it's easy to cut those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they don't have any. There's not anybody that is going to blow us away like Fernando Bryant last year.
Right.
I don't think so.
Well,
I don't think so.
Until it blows us away like Fernando Bryant last year.
We didn't think that about Fernando last year.
No, but do we think there's a chance that one of those. That's what I'm asking you now.
No, but I didn't think there was a Fernando Bryant chance.
I do
understanding we were wrong last year.
I'll take the Fred Kirk
approach. Will we be wrong again this year?
I'll say, boy, I was stunned.
I think there's a chance Sean Springs may not be on the team.
I don't.
That's a costly
chance.
I think there's a chance.
I don't think there's a chance.
I think
given the
chance
amount of money
would only
that he
be health related. He's a guy that's been constantly banged up.
He got some good coin
lately.
To come.
Well,
through.
I mean, how many corners are they going to carry?
Five.
Five. We just told you.
You know, so there's a chance. Will Height and Will Height.
No, I think those. I think those five are locks. I agree with Andy and Eric.
Okay.
Now, barring,
you think
Bob
will get cut, right?
Right.
How about the starting offense? All right, we have the same five linemen as last year. I think we all agree on.
Yeah.
If Neil
Sebby could get in. Yeah. Sebby could get in.
I think that
no chance.
He's playing left tackle a lot, which tells me he's not up for the right tackle starting.
It tells me the opposite. It tells me they're so sure at what he can do at right, they want to see what
he can do. He's never played
left.
Right tackle. He's never played right tackle. So stop with this.
No,
theory.
Because they figure he's never played right tackle. Right's a lot easier. Let's see what
he's
he can
never
do
it. Played it. Just because it's easier, Bill always tells us there's some guys you can flip them from left to right and not even know
right.
the difference. Some guys they struggle with it.
If
you wanted to find that out, you'd play him at right tackle if you thought he could play right tackle.
Watch.
He plays left tackle as he's always played.
He's gonna
To me, it tells me he's going to be the backup left tackle, maybe the swing tackle, but is not in right now. Is not in the running for the starting right tackle job. Otherwise, you'd get him reps there.
I think he's in the running.
For what?
For the right tackle job.
Why wouldn't he be getting reps at right tackle then?
Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried about it because he's not going to be in the running for the starting job at right tackle, but your theories are so, as usual, off base, it's not even funny.
Only health, again.
You know, Ty Law. They gave somebody 24, so Ty Law is coming back. That's where this ranks in those idiotic theories.
Dexter Reed.
Jonathan Ogden. I know exactly what he looks like when he blocks.
No,
you don't.
A couple injuries could change it, but otherwise I agree with Andy. But so you got the five linemen. You got Brady.
Yep.
I'm going to go with a three wide receiver thing with I'm going to go Moss Galloway
Welker.
With Welker in the slot.
Mm-hmm. Assuming good
I'm
going
to go Watson, and one back will be Lawrence
Sammy
Maroney.
The Bull.
Lawrence
Maroney.
Maroney over Morris.
Sammy the Bull.
For the first play of the year.
They're not going to give
him. That's provided that Maroney, you know, didn't stub his toe in preseason.
They've tried that route, giving him the starting job early in the year. Sammy the Bull gets it done.
Provided Sammy the Bull doesn't stub his toe in preseason.
Hmm. Stub his toe. He had some
sternum clavicle separation.
He was crushed.
Something that even NFL guys had never heard of.
Nearly to death. And now we're comparing it to Twinkle Toes Fragile Maroney. Are you kidding me?
That's the beauty of me.
Marvin in Kernersville, North Carolina says, Fred, Paul is right on time, as always, with this promo for increasing the listening audience. How about some innovation to listen cards? There is another station in my area who gives these cards out to the regular listeners so that when they are talking to someone about the things they hear on the show, they can then hand out these ITL cards or Innovation to Listen card with all the necessary
invitation to listen?
I think it should be invitation, but he's got innovation. With all the necessary contact info so that newbie will know exactly how to join in the conversation. Fred, this would be a great idea to have PFW ITL cards that the show's regular listeners can email in and get shipped to them, so we can share the wealth of PFW with the rest of the world. Fred, just think about all those poor souls who don't know the best time to evaluate strength of schedule. This would be the perfect way to broaden the PFW following. Thanks for all you do.
This would be a great time to broaden the following. And he burps at the conclusion of that sentence. That in and of itself is the magic of PFW progress.
You are beautiful.
It's not a bad idea, though. You slap a logo on there to pay for
it? Well, it's not a bad idea because there's a lot of inside jokes. So if you're tuning in for the first time, you're like, what does that mean?
Plus,
Eric,
there's got to be a way for us
to
attract.
Why did you have to use that as an example?
What?
Of all the examples you could have used, why did you have to use that one?
Well, I just thought I'd do it.
The one that is the most untrue of anything on the show. You had to use that one.
And the one that's also the easiest to understand. If you think a guy's gay, it's pretty obvious what the joke is.
That's
like
the point, idiot.
I love when he calls you an idiot.
I do, too.
He doesn't even call you an idiot. He just calls you idiot. I love that. That's great.
But seriously, I mean, cards aren't that expensive, and if you have them sponsored, throw a logo on there.
Yeah, but nowadays,
Fidelity Cards.
Why don't you just create the card in digital form and then say, I'll email it to you?
Because it's not available when you're actually talking to the person at Paul Perillo's son's initiation, graduation,
right. Now, is there a way we can, like, have... We can send, is that what this is? We send this out to people so we can attract new listeners as well?
People email us and say, I like cards.
Business cards, this guy's
and then we
about.
Send people that email us like a package of cards.
15 cards. They keep in their wallet and they're saying, you guys should tune into PFW in progress. And they hand a card and it says,
so they're doing the legwork.
They're doing the legwork.
It makes us viral.
Word of mouth.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea.
And as I said, couldn't you get a logo on it to pay for the cost of the
cards? Although I wouldn't call it innovation to listen.
No, it's invitation. That was a typo.
We need to do that. We need to do something to attract more listeners because we have our loyal following, but we need more. We need more. There's more. I know there's more out there. Untapped potential, Freddie.
So we make some PFW Progress Tuesdays. Thursdays off season, 12 to 2, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday during the season, 12 to 2. Our names, I guess, the email address and the phone number of the show.
You know, streaming live, noon to 2.
Yeah.
Also available on iTunes or whatever podcast as a podcast format. Our logo.
It's not a bad idea. Can you have Tacoma do that? Is that okay if he does that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, good. That won't take Doc off the board. Yeah, he can do that.
Yeah.
How many are we going to order?
Well, you know, they come in like batches of 500.
Yes, I am professional at ball.
You know, we'll order like a 1,000 or 2,000.
Plus, we can pass them out.
Yeah. So every time
at our events.
Every time somebody emails in and they want them, we'll give them a batch of 25 or something.
At our events, did you just say?
Oh, we had in Seattle. We had an event. We were out there.
Well, that's true.
We'll have rubbing elbows with the masses. We'll have some in London. We'll be across the pond.
London, baby.
Paul, it could be your permanent last call on the big show.
It's a good point. It's a good point. But I have used PFW in progress as a last call before. I did it before the draft.
Really?
Yeah.
And they let you do that?
What's this lead? I do it.
We're
a
competitor.
Do you notice? After the fact, they might say, hey, we don't want you to do that anymore.
Competitor.
We are. Well,
like the nails competing with the hammer.
Do you notice?
Exactly. It's like the Red Sox and Yankees.
Well, do you notice that Mike Reese now does his chats on Thursdays at 12?
Well, he copies everything we do.
Well, but obviously,
there's an element of that. There's a lot of stuff that's been very suspicious lately.
Really?
He does a fine job.
We love him, though. See, when we steal from him, we credit him.
Right. That's true. We credit anyone we steal from.
That's true.
And we steal from him a lot because he's the best.
Right.
He's out there all the time. He's got more stuff than anybody, right? So we steal from him all the time.
Let's see.
He's like got the crickets going in the background.
Pogs from St. Johnsbury says, hey, guys, including Eric, I don't think Billy Joel is gay. If I remember right, he was involved in some way with Christy Brinkley.
And he married her. He was married for 20 years.
Yeah, on the football front, I didn't call him. On the football front, the experts.
Fred was calling Andy that.
I like to
Are you going to call the owner that for going to endless Elton John concerts and being best friends with him?
The experts like to measure dynasties by how many players from those teams make the Hall of Fame. How many Patriots players from the dynasty years will make the Hall of Fame, and how do they compare to other dynasty teams? I don't think that's how I measure it.
You measure it by dominance of the era.
Dominance of the era.
Super Bowls, wins, Super Bowls appearances, that.
Right.
Almost perfect seasons.
Almost perfect seasons.
TG and NJ
appearances
says,
in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I don't know. Brady will make the Hall of Fame. Belichick will make the Hall of Fame. After that, it's...
Moss will make the Hall of Fame.
Moss will make the Hall of Fame.
Not as a dynasty Patriot, necessarily.
He doesn't count.
But...
Yeah.
There
aren't
going to
be that many.
Adam
Vinatieri will make it.
Not one of the top 10 kickers in the game at this point, according to Real Scouts.
No, he isn't. TG and NJ says...
No, he probably is. Right now, he probably isn't.
Steven Gostkowski was number one in their rankings.
Oh, I would agree with that. I don't think that Adam's one of the top 10. Right now. There's no one I'd rather have with a game winner on the line.
He's very inconsistent now. TG and NJ says, now I know why you guys don't like the Patriots. Fred has convinced you don't.
Yes, exactly. He's brainwashed us over
the
years.
Like the team, and you will always argue against them. I'm assuming this is some mad plot on Fred's part to make himself a fan favorite with the listeners because he comes off as the only homer of the crew.
Yeah, we're all homers.
Right.
Very sly, Kirsch. There's more to you than chest hair, fried dough, and gutter cleaners.
Very little else, though. I have to be honest with you.
How's the deck going?
How's the man groomer?
They're supposed to come and look at it tomorrow, beginning of next week. They did send me a check for the grill.
Putting your party in jeopardy?
Did I tell this on the air?
I don't think you did.
I had a fire.
You told us.
I had a fire at my home.
Yeah, you were telling us.
The grill caught on fire.
Fred,
I wasn't there.
Andy brings up a good point. Does this put the party in jeopardy?
I got to get the deck fixed.
I was thinking early July. You guys,
not if it's
I know
catered.
Everybody's going to be going on vacation.
That's true. I could shut off the deck.
What's that bounce back?
But I do want to get the deck fixed.
Yeah, I know, but I just want you to have a party.
So
maybe it's just a haze from like the late 70s.
Because, I need to come, wear my Mendenhall jersey, play a little wiffle ball, dive in the pool.
Right.
Tugender will be there.
Or Tugender, who's now apparently shaved his greasy locks.
Yeah.
Now, if I do have this party, which, of course I will... Does Tacoma get to come? Are you going to allow him to go to this?
No, he'll have him on the board that day.
I was just assuming I wasn't going to get invited again, so sure.
Never been invited?
Wow.
You don't invite the dog?
I never invited you?
No, me and Gary never got the invite, but you took the Tugender.
Baloney. Gary always got invited.
Gary.
That's not what he said.
Gary gets invited, but if it's not like this silver platter, someone some like butler shows up with white gloves and a silver plate with the invitation on it, he takes it as disrespectful.
It's true.
No, of course you'll get invited, I think.
We'll see. There is going to be one.
Of course you'll get invited.
Well, I have to figure out, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
I was thinking after my kitchen was done, having a quick one before training camp starts.
You're going to have a party, too?
Yeah.
Oh!
Oh, that's very disrespectful.
You're going to christen the kitchen?
That's extremely disrespectful.
What do you expect?
Fathead.
Wow. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
We always stop on the most
random
thing.
We are the worst last 5 minutes of any show.
We're not so hot in the first hour 55.
Next week's a big week. These guys are going to be at the golf tournament. They're going to get going to be getting sound
that you may or may not hear next week.
That we're going to be using on Tuesday's show, perhaps. But big show on Tuesday. We don't know the practice times yet, so we're not sure about whether or not we're going to still be at 12. Or
Tuesday will be
2 to 4.
Oh, it will be.
Yes.
Tuesday
yes.
is
we have that
OTA.
One. That's an OTA. Then Wednesday it shifts to its veteran minicamp.
So most likely Tuesday 2 to 4, Thursday we're not sure of yet. But next week, ton of content, media availability all week.
Every day.
So it's going to be a big day for PFW in Progress.
Will Ford.
And Patriots.
Will he or won't he?
All right. I say yes.
I say yes.
We'll talk to you. See you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. Yeah, God, yeah.
Patriots.com Radio.